clouds as well. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-Al-Anon or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Hi, I'm Frank. The pedestrian you passed back there? You didn't even notice me. But why should you? Well, I could pop out in front of you when you least expect it. It could be a kid chasing a dog. Of course, I try to be safe. I use crosswalks, look both ways, and make eye contact with drivers. But either of us could make a mistake. So let's, you know, look out for each other.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more information, visit aaos.org.
Asthma. Many people think they have it under control, but they really don't. If you have asthma, take 30 seconds to take the asthma control test. For each question, think back to the past 4 weeks. How much of the time did your asthma keep you from getting as much done at work or at home? How often did you have shortness of breath? How often did your asthma symptoms wake you up at night or earlier than usual in the morning? How often did you use your rescue inhaler or nebulizer medication? And last, how would you rate your asthma control during the past 4 weeks? Visit www.asthmaactionamerica.org and take 30 seconds to complete the asthma control test. Or call 1-800-704-4699 to receive the test by mail. And be sure to talk with your healthcare professional about preventing asthma symptoms and protecting your lungs from damage. Are you doing everything you can to control your asthma? Or is your asthma controlling you? A message from Asthma Action America.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, but the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is, and just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
I have 3 children, and I've been raising my 16-year-old sister.
Mary Gallagher and her family shared a 2-bedroom apartment with 8 people. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping her build a simple, decent, affordable home of her own.
When we first found out that we were getting a Habitat home, it was like a dream. I kept saying, don't anybody wake me up.
Not only is Mary helping build her own home, she'll buy it with a no-profit, zero-interest mortgage to keep it affordable.
Habitat came out and built my home, and when Mary started building her house, I wanted to come out and give a hand.
We're not just building Mary's house, we're building a neighborhood.
There's several more to be built this year, and I look forward to working on each of their houses and seeing the joy of their face when they open the door to their brighter future.
Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit habitat.org.
I feel very blessed. God has answered all of my prayers. We are home.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 10 years old.
I am 37. No, 38. Next week.
I'm in the fourth grade.
I sell financial planning services.
I found out that trees breathe, too.
I make PowerPoint presentations.
I play football every day at 3:30 after school.
I also have this incredible young friend.
I love my mom and my dad. And tomorrow, I get to see Rick. He's my friend, too.
I am a mentor to a young man named Marquis.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
Ricky and me are going to the zoo tomorrow.
Marquis always wants to see the monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're apes. Monkeys have tails.
I know, I did that.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg us for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Welcome to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing a show that is just insane. It's just insane. We're going to be doing a show, and you're going to want to check out the website on this. We'll have this up tomorrow. And also, back by popular request, I got so many requests to put the stuff back up about the firefighters. We took it down because it was a week. We're putting it back up because we got so many requests to get that done. But tomorrow's show, you're going to want to, you are going to want to see these pictures. They are unbelievable. The story that we're going to do tomorrow is just one that just boggles the mind. It hurts your heart in too many places to even be able to articulate. In the state of New York, orphans, children in foster care, were used for AIDS experiments. Deadly AIDS experiments. And foster parents were required to give this medicine that made children throw up. That the pictures are going to break your heart. Orphans were used for foul babies. Were used. And the twisted, sick part of this is, at first, many in the mainstream media said, no, they're not. No, they're not. And you know what they turned? They twisted the story around to? They twisted the story around to, we have these wonderful results from all of this AIDS testing now. We can save people. Give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. Of what the babies look like, what they experimented upon. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. We're going to be talking to a nurse. Hopefully we'll be talking to the nurse that administered these drugs. We're going to be talking to a writer that's dedicated a large part of his career to following and reporting on this story. We'll be able to see, you will be able to see videos of a documentary that has not run here. And the BBC, it's only run it once or twice. It's a heck of a story. And you'll want to see the pictures tomorrow when you click on to LizBrown.com. That's tomorrow's story. That's Emily Skates, my intern, our last intern here on the Wake Up Call. That's her project. Okay. I listen to stories all day long about Pat Robertson. But I want to, before I get to the Pat Robertson story, I want to get to another story because I think this amplifies the Pat Robertson story. We have a government that has not lost its collective mind, an administration that has not lost its collective mind. Over a person who is on the federal airwaves. They control the airwaves. He has his own network. It's broadcast through, it's connected to ABC, but he has his own network. But it's still on our airwaves. And he said that we, our government should assassinate. I mean, the question about Pat Robertson is that some people have tried to describe him and marginalize him into just, oh, he's just crazy. Maybe he just stopped crazy. But the question is he out of his mind? Or is he in the loop? But while and while we are deconstructing what it means to live in a time where a cleric in the United States says the government should kill, murder, assassinate a president of another country. Clerics calling for assassination. Sound familiar? As big as that is, if in the context of this next story, it's fiddling while Rome is burning. China and Russia, right here, right now, as we speak, on today's date, on Thursday, August 25th, are completing joint military maneuvers, unprecedented joint military maneuvers. 8,800 men, 7,000 Chinese men, 1,800 Russians, 17 planes, 140 warships, and a submarine. China and Russia started today engaging in military maneuvers together. Huh? Huh? And China is in Russia. Now, what kind of group rate do you get for bringing 8,800 Chinese men to Russia to participate in war maneuvers? Why is China and Russia practicing war maneuvers? Well, according to the Russian, their army chief of staff, Yuri Blavoksovich, quote, "The objective of these maneuvers is to test the combat capability of our forces so as to better confront the new challenges that await us in the Asia-Pacific region and the world in general." Huh? What? Huh? George Bush is pedaling his bike and choking on pretzels on a 5-week vacation. China and Russia are engaging in war maneuvers. This is huge. Since 2001, Moscow and Beijing have formed the core of a new regional coalition, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the SCO. The creation of the Moscow, this also includes India. Moscow and China are guaranteeing the Continental Federation access to warm seas. And they're not done yet. They're doing this maneuver for a week starting today. Then Russia will hold its next large military maneuver in October with India. India, oh, by the way, is another big buyer of Russian arms. George Bush is peddling away. Peddling as fast as his little legs can take him. I will say this, though. He looks in a... You know what he looks like? There's a word And I know that all of you who have been around children, or all of you who have been children, you know that little attitudinal face that you get as a child when things are not going your way? You know that face, that peevish face, that attitudinal face. George Bush is looking a bit, how we say, peevish nowadays. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about it. How does a shoot? It's hard for the man to get his vacation on. Folks ain't making it easy for him to get his vacation on. Y'all, we got some rough seas ahead. Hold on to my hand. Don't let go of my hand. I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
It doesn't know what to say. So we praise whatever, 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 whatever happens. Don't let go of my hand.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, road construction has the right lane closed. Crews are finishing up that bridge work there. There are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge, nothing to report. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Lindbergh, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into New Florissant Road, nothing to report there as well. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Clayton, everything is on the move this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for that volume to start to pick up this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, nothing to report. Westbound 5570 split on the PSB, stop and go traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank on the Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is all running smoothly this hour. In both directions, 61 at 70 and 47, paving operations are going on during off-peak hours. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois, you have paving operations as well. And eastbound 40 at Vandeventer, that exit is closed through to August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand to get around that area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms are likely today. The high should be in the lower 80s. For this evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the upper 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. Friday evening, showers and thunderstorms will continue with a low around 70. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers, high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 70 and some clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Check out the 34th annual Bevo Day on Sunday, August 28th at the intersection of Gravois, Morgan Ford, and Delore near the Bevo Mill in South St. Louis. Try the delicious Bevo Day bratwurst as well as other great foods and plenty of cold beverages to wash them down. For more information, call 314-352-0141. Something to do from Radio Free St. Louis.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Friday morning on the Wake Up Call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what's going to get in me. Just a little touch of Stockholm or two.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. If you didn't have a chance to catch the last hour of the show yesterday, you really missed it. We've really had an amazing conversation with a journalist out of Canada, who talked about the connection between Canada and Aristide's ouster, the coup d'etat committed by this country and Canada. So check out whiterosesociety.org. The last hour yesterday was really an amazing story about what Canada has done and what Canada does. Check that out at whiterosesociety.org. I don't know, words that come out of George Bush's mouth that just are unbelievable, are just, you wonder why the world doesn't stand still sometimes with some of the stuff that falls out of his mouth. George W. Bush is getting all kinds of criticism everywhere he goes. It's delightful. It is absolutely delightful. People are angry about his vacation, 5-week vacation, when gas prices are almost $3 an hour. 5 weeks. And I assure you that a lot of the stuff that we're seeing George Bush now going to these events and stuff like that, he wasn't going to do any of this stuff until Cindy Sheehan showed up. He was going to lay low for 5 weeks. The press was going to, you know, have nothing to talk about for 5 weeks. But the dead bodies keep coming home. The protesters keep rallying. They set up camp in Crawford. They followed him to Idaho. Do you know that in Boise, Idaho, over 2,000 people gathered in protest against George W. Bush? One Boise resident, Monty Mercilius, a Boise electrical engineer, he said that he hates the fact he hates that George Bush is on vacation. He says it is typical of his attitude about everything, blasé and unempathetic towards those who disagree with him. Blasé and unempathetic towards those who disagree with him. So, listen to this. When asked those questions about taking a vacation, this is what he said. And these are the things that the world needs to stop and say, what the... George Bush said about his vacation, and I quote, "I think people want the president..." talking about himself in the third person, to be in a position to make good, crisp decisions and to stay healthy, whatever crisp a decision is. And here's the part that floors me. And part of my being outside, and part of my being is to be outside. side exercising. I got to read that again because I stumbled over it because it's a non sequitur. And part of my being is to be outside exercising. His words. So I am mindful of what goes on around me. Huh? And it goes on in a continually confusing manner. On the other hand, check this out. These are the words. I am also mindful that I got a life to live and I will do so. You have an attitude about people expecting the guy who sits in the president's seat not to be thinking about his job all the time and working on his job all the time. He says, I've got a life to live and I will do so. Like every peevish, petulant, spoiled brat says, I can do what I want to when I want to and you can't stop me. That's what this is. And the fact of the matter, dude, is this. It's not your life to live. It's our life to tell you what to do. We, the taxpayers, own you. And you have a responsibility to us. No, you don't have a life to live. If you wanted a life to live, you shouldn't have run for the presidency. This man looked you in the face and said, like every spoiled, rotten, overprivileged child does, you can't make me. I'm going to do what I want. You can't make me. You can't stop me. I'm going to do what I want. You can't make me. You can't stop me. You can't make me. You can't stop me. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? He looks you in the face and he says, I'm mindful I've got a life to live, shoot. I'm going to do so. That's, huh? Huh? And just listen to this whole sentence is disconnected, discombobulated, just words thrown together. Part of my being is to be outside exercising. What does that mean? Part of my being is to be outside exercising? So I am mindful of what goes on around me? What does that mean? Huh? So you're mindful of what? You want credit. You want us to appreciate the fact that you see things going on in the world around you? You think that that's where our standards are? That's the place of our expectations for a guy that's sitting in the presidency seat? I see things going on in the world around me. You know what? You are just the dumbest. I'm mindful of the things that go on around me. So is a 9-month-old. They're mindful as well. And quite frankly, their responses to the world around them is more logical than yours. You're almost a 60-year-old man. And you're using the words that 12-year-old spoiled brats use. And you know what? You're 12 years old. I can forgive you for being a spoiled brat. I ain't gonna let go that a grown up man is telling me to get out of his face, that he gonna do what he wants to do, and he's the president, or he's stolen the presidency. You know what? If you don't have time for the gig, then you shouldn't have stole it. If you don't have time for it, you shouldn't have stole it. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. We're going to take a little break. Not a 5-week break. We're going to take a little break. Stay with me.
Easy fight. One praises fools. One's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline London. Employees at the subway station in London, where an innocent man was shot dead by police, say authorities are lying when they say closed-circuit TV cameras were not working that day. The employees say there is no reason why the camera inside the subway car would not have captured the shooting of Brazilian Jean-Charles de Menzies by London police on the morning of July 22nd. Senior police officials have said there was no footage from the subway available. Scotland Yard is not saying if the videotapes were erased or lost. The first officers on the scene after Menzies was shot confiscated all the tapes, but they said they turned out to be blank. The subway workers say they have decided to break their silence because they're being unfairly accused of not maintaining the camera system. Other irregularities have also surfaced about the events surrounding the shooting following the terrorist bombings. Scotland Yard officials who ordered the shooting of Menzies knew they had killed the wrong man several hours before the police chief of London was told of the shooting. And when he was finally informed about the mistake, his first words were, "This is just dreadful. What are we going to do about it?" And the police and soldiers who took part in the operation that tracked Menzies from his home are now pointing the finger at each other. The surveillance teams that followed him into the subway had concluded he was not a threat, but the armed forces that arrived on the scene a bit later disagreed with that assessment and then wound up shooting and killing him. Critics say the London police have staged a massive cover-up on the entire matter. This is your wake-up call global news update. Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. If you like to get your hands dirty, working in the yard or gardening, you should know that you could get a serious, even fatal disease, tetanus. Because all it takes is an open wound, a scratch, a cut, or even a small splinter. And the tetanus bacteria in this, the soil in your yard. Maybe you were vaccinated as a child, but childhood vaccines wear off. Maybe you wear gloves to help reduce injuries. But you need a routine shot every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. So get the TD booster shot. Contact your healthcare provider to find out if your vaccination is up to date. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit www.nfid.org.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I stand there and listen to my life go by. And at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start and I have. Like I'm invisible.
Baby, you won't treat me the way you're treating me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
How you doing, Liz?
Good morning.
You know, in Israel, they have torn down these houses. And I heard on the news yesterday that Israel wants to ask the United States for money to rebuild these houses. And I'm thinking, Liz, don't we already give Israel a lot of money?
Well, we talked about that about a month ago, mm-hmm. that they were requesting several billions of dollars. They called it resettlement money, that they, in order to resettle the people that's squatted on the land to begin with.
I mean, people.
So, I mean, the fact of the matter is this. You can ask for anything that you want. You know, I mean, a child can ask for a Mercedes for their 15th birthday, but that doesn't mean that they're supposed to get it.
No, I don't think they're supposed to get it. I'm sure they're not. I don't think they should be getting the money they've been getting
I don't think
every
they should,
year.
I don't think so either. Particularly since they don't follow the regulations and the directives of the UN. They have committed all kinds of crimes, and the UN turns its head to that. No, I don't think that they should be getting the money from the U.S.
But see, this is the reason why all of these other countries hate America. Is because of the position they take with Israel.
A lot, not all of them, but a lot of countries.
A lot of countries. Mm-hmm. But you know, the other day, this Pat Robertson thing, and I thought about, remember the two guys that was fired from the radio station back here a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the statement they made that some people lost their minds over got them fired. Now, what I can't understand, this statement that Pat Robertson made, why is it that the Christian coalitions and all of these people haven't said anything?
Because either he's in the loop.
That's what it
is. And they know that his statements are useful, and they don't have any problem with it. Because the fact of the matter is, these are not Christian. This is not Christian leadership. These are Christian profiteers, and they're profiteers. They're making money off of Christianity. That's all they're doing.
Yeah. Okay, Leah.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The religious world should have been a front page story yesterday. There should have been a front page story of all of the religious leaders that were standing in lockstep, not simply condemning Pat Robertson, but demanding that the FCC take him off the airwaves. A cleric demanded the assassination of the president of another country. Just listen to the words. Just listen to the words.
We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-armed dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with.
And then he goes on to say, and I don't think that the oil would stop flowing after that. Do we have that piece? So he says, I don't think that the oil would stop flowing afterwards, huh? It's not your oil. It's Venezuela's oil. Isn't one of the and again, I'm not a sports expert, I'm not a Bible expert, but I'm fairly sure that there's something in those 10 little rules, as Jay California Cooper calls them, the perfect rule, that 10 rules that cover every situation in human existence. Every wrong, 10 little rules that cover every single wrong imaginable to man. I'm fairly certain that those 10 little rules include something. What's that word? It's a C word. Is the C word covet? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. It ain't your oil. It's not your oil. And to me, it takes, I don't know what the word in the English language is for it. There's some kind of super covetousness that you could look at somebody's stuff and feel entitlement to it. People lose their minds about poor people feeling entitled to a check to pay for their food or a check to pay for their little housing. People lose their mind over what they believe to be the entitlement that hurts poor people. Well, sweetie, what does it say about you to call for the assassination of a person in order to get their oil that is not yours to begin with? These are astounding times. Astounding times. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
I was just thinking about the lady ahead of me saying some of the same things that I was thinking. What do you have to do? I mean, America has become so greedy and so our leadership has become so mad that they think they're supposed to have everything that they want, and everybody else is supposed to think it's all right. This is madness. And this man taking all these trips, maybe some of these folks, after some of these other base closings, are going to realize they lost their jobs.
The 4,000-something people up in
the... And when they realize that they lost their jobs, and when their children come back, and your show yesterday or the day before with the veterans, and what they got to go through, and people out here now... Actually, the group on yesterday was actually begging, do something for the people after they get back, because they are all broken up, their minds are destroyed, their bodies are destroyed, and George Bush is busy cutting everything that would help the veterans, and then some of these dummies say, our children should be glad, I'm glad my child's gone over fighting for the country, and as soon as his body comes back and not dead, because, you know, it was rumored that his daddy sent 49,000 body bags over to Iraq the first time. And you know, they didn't get to use all of them. So I think George Bush says, let them go over there, and we don't want them to come back for real. And that's the reason why I think, too, we are not getting the truth about the number that are being killed, really killed, and about the number that are injured. And you just continue to keep up the good work, and I'm going to have my radio on. I don't go any place until after your show goes off.
Thanks for your call.
You just said, I mean, this is the real news.
All right.
And that's the reason why so many people listen to you. Keep it up.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz, you know... Some callers were calling in saying the president of Venezuela is a communist or a communist sympathizer, and
yeah.
He went to see Castro.
Yes,
he did. Pope John Paul II went to see Castro.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Did China become a democracy?
It's the most communist nation on the face of the earth.
And where do we do most of our trading with?
We sure do, Liz.
So wait a minute. So don't tell me that something's wrong with communism. If we're doing the trillions of dollars worth of business with China, you got to throw something else at me to say other than communist.
He sounds more like Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
He said, I have free oil for you. Come get it. I have free cheap oil for you. Come get it.
Plus, health care for the 35 million without it.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Liz.
You need to start wearing your Hugo Chavez for President buttons. He said, I have cheap gas, and if y'all will cut out the middlemen, people in my country pay $2 to fill up their tank. I want you to have my cheap gas. Cut out the middlemen. You can have it. And what does George Bush say? What do George Bush's friends say? Kill him. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. The Federal Commission on Closing and Restructuring Military Bases is scheduled to resume its work at this hour with a look at Air Force facilities. Yesterday, commissioners voted to save a submarine base in Connecticut and a Navy shipyard on the New Hampshire-Maine border.
Lobbying groups in each community convinced the commission that closing them was a bad idea. The Navy had hoped to save $2 billion over 20 years from those two facilities. Overall, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld says that the base closings should save $50 billion over 20 years. But some experts say that's questionable. The final decision is still up to the president and Congress.
ABC's John Yang. Residents along 150 miles of Florida's southeastern coast are under a hurricane warning today. Tropical storm Katrina is about 90 miles out and strengthening. The outlook for today.
The rain will become more persistent, as well as we should see the outer reaches of the tropical storm force winds begin to move onshore later this afternoon.
And government forecaster Dave Roberts says Katrina should come ashore in full tomorrow morning. The Pentagon says it's sending 1,500 more paratroopers from the Army's 82nd Airborne to Iraq to provide security for coming elections. President Bush is back in Texas and back on vacation today after a speech yesterday to National Guard troops and their families in Idaho, in which he promised there will be no retreat from Iraq. Also back in Texas is Cindy Sheehan, the leader of the anti-war demonstration outside the Bush Ranch. She'd been away for a few days to care for her sick mother. A California man, a Palestinian-American Army veteran, got a credit card offer addressed to Palestinian bomber. An angry Sami Habas called the company.
I proceeded to give him the zip code. I gave him the invitation number to the application. And she told me, yes, Mr. Bomber. What can we do? That made me break down more.
Chase Card Services blames an outside vendor. This is ABC News.
Welcome to the UPS store. I can help you at the counter, sir.
Well, I hate to burst your packing bubble there, but I've got a lot of copying to do and some product samples that need to be packed and shipped for my small business. I cannot be next.
Sir, you can come right up to the counter.
And take a number and wait, right?
I don't know what you're used to, but we do things differently here.
When you're running a small business, time is valuable. Get it done right at one of 3,700 convenient locations. Visit theupsstore.com for the location nearest you. Participation may vary.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
Some new information reported by the London Evening Standard newspaper claims that the bus blown up by terrorists in July was not the original target. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers.
Cell phone records reveal that 18-year-old Hasib Hussein made three frantic calls to his bombing accomplices on the fateful morning of July 7th, but he got no replies as they had already blown themselves up. Unnamed security sources tell the Evening Standard the phone log lends support to the idea that Hussein's intended target was really a subway train, but it was out of commission due to repairs. The theory goes that Hussein then decided to blow up the bus in Tavistock Square on the spur of the moment. The phone records also show that he called no one else like a mastermind for advice, which would tend to support the notion that there wasn't one. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
A Northwest Airlines flight from Minneapolis to Bozeman, Montana, landed instead in Billings yesterday. The pilot reported hydraulic problems. Northwest says this was not related to the strike by the airline's mechanics. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department is asking for the public's help in finding a missing 58-year-old Belleville resident. Investigators say Charles Chuck Mitchell left home at 9 o'clock Sunday night on his motorcycle, and he has not been seen since. His debit card was used almost 2 hours later at a gas station in Red Bud, Illinois. Mitchell, who is said to have a heart condition, is 6'2", weighs 220 pounds, and has brown hair and blue eyes. Anyone with information is asked to call 618-277-3505, extension 5712. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is hoping other trucking companies in the state will follow the lead of Norin Burns Truck Service and start using biodiesel. Shimkus says biodiesel is a great alternative to regular diesel because it is renewable, helps decrease the reliance on foreign oil, helps the local agricultural community, and is better for the environment. Norin Burns, a Nashville, Illinois-based company, announced yesterday that it was switching to B11 biodiesel in all 150 of its tractor trailers. A new survey shows that more than one-third of parents in the United States have little or no contact with their child's school counselor. Dr. Carolyn Stone, the president-elect of the American School Counselor Association, says it's important to change these numbers.
We understand when you have that partnership, you have a powerful ingredient for academic achievement, personal social-emotional growth, and also solid career, connecting what students do in school to their future.
It's recommended that parents communicate with their child's school counselor at least 3 times a year. This report will be addressed at the Missouri School Counselors Fall Conference. Finally this hour, a 13-game road trip continues for the Redbirds tonight in Pittsburgh as the Cardinals and Pirates conclude a 4-game series at PNC Park, with the road team looking to take 3 of 4 before moving on to Washington. Righty Matt Morris will start for the Cards for the first time since securing his 100th career victory last Saturday in St. Louis. First pitch is slated for 6:05 tonight. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Benadryl D. Northbound 55 between Imperial Main and Richardson Road is easing after an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, road construction, right lanes closed. This final stage of the bridge work, and there are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Arsenal, look for no problems there. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler plant all the way to Lindbergh, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for no problems to report. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for very heavy volume. Northbound 270 is bumper to bumper either side of 44. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume there as well. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, nothing to report. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, you got heavy volume there as well. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for everything to be running smoothly. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue all the way to 5570 split is slow this hour. Westbound 5570 is slow from Exchange onto the PSP. And westbound Kingbridge traffic on the gravel pit into Laclede's Landing, you have heavy volume as well. And northbound Route 3, the ramp to Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Benadryl D. Tried almost everything for your allergies and congestion? Tried Benadryl D, the allergy and congestion relief you've been looking for. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms are likely today with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms will probably continue with a low in the upper 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers. The high should be in the mid-80s. Friday evening, showers likely with a low around 70. And Saturday, mostly cloudy. Chance for showers with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. I remember a train that progress has been made. If you took a measure my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, that's easy. 1-877-920-WGNU. Please do not forget that we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. From Xenia to Zimbabwe, we cover it all. And the show is archived daily on WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go to WhiteRoseSociety.org and get your hour. We are also iPodded. Is that a word? iPodded. You can catch us on your iPod as well. That's right. The Wake Up Call is iPodded. So handle your business. I was just thinking during the break about the world that we're living in. That poor boy George can't cut a break. Baby trying to get his 5 week vacation on, and everywhere he goes, there's somebody to say, you know what? No, we're dying. You're riding your bike and choking on pretzels. You need to be in the job that, in the house of the job that you stole. You need to be that. If you wanted it so bad you stole it, you need to act like that and be in Washington, D.C., rather than bicycling with Lance. So I was thinking about how we have George W. Bush bicycling all over the country. All over Idaho, all over Texas, and I was thinking, you know, poor baby. Here he is trying to get his 5-week vacation on in the safest place in the country, right? In a red state. Jesus, I would think that I'd be able to find peace and a little bit of quiet from them noisy blue states. You'd think you'd be able to find it in a red state or two. Shoot, he went from Crawford, population, what, 300-700 people, to a little town in Idaho, population 100 and some people. He still found no peace in a red state. We need to talk about this. All right. Maybe George needs a bit of schooling. I know something that he has resisted all of his life, education. But maybe he needs a little bit of schooling. Maybe the states aren't as red as people have said they are. Because I know a lot of our good Democrats out there use any opportunity, any excuse to cut and run. Oh, it's a red state. We've got nothing to come in. It's a red state. No. But maybe they need to take a clue from what happened in Boise. They need to take a clue from Monty Mercilis, an electrical engineer in Boise who attended the thousands-plus protests against George W. Bush, who described George W. Bush as his attitude and his vacationing as typical of his attitude about everything, blasé, unempathetic towards those who disagree with him. Are they as red? Are we as red? Are we as blue? Well, a reporter set out to investigate that very question. A blue state reporter is journeying through the regions of the multicolored regions of the Lone Star State and elsewhere, Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Alabama, Montana, Utah, to find out how blue we are, how red we are. I have with me this morning, joining us from another red state, Rose Aguilar, San Francisco reporter. Rose, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. How is it to be blue in a red state?
Well, after being on the road for 4 months, the red state, blue state terms are really media creations, because I've met such a diverse group of people in these states, and even the Republicans are incredibly diverse. You just don't hear from them in the media, especially on Fox and CNN. I mean, you've got pro-choice Republicans, pro-environment Republicans, and Republicans who are not in favor of the war. They just didn't feel like they had an alternative with John Kerry, and they did not like what he had to say.
What did they say that they didn't like about John Kerry? If you are pro-environment, if you are anti-war, and I'm not defending John Kerry because
yeah.
It was one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen run.
Right.
But outside of Al Gore's. But what were their articulations of why they couldn't go with Kerry?
Well, a lot of people, of course, just watch the headlines,
mm-hmm.
and they watch the debates. We forget that so many people don't go online. They don't read blogs.
Mm.
They're not reading 5 newspapers a day.
Mm.
And a lot of people said, he just didn't do it for me.
Mm.
He didn't offer a clear alternative. I felt like he was a flip-flopper.
Mm.
A lot of people repeated a lot of the rhetoric we hear in the media. That was really interesting.
But that's kind of a lesson, isn't it? I mean, that this stuff that I guess some people dismiss as, well, there's so much information out there now that people can really find out about people. The fact of the matter is, 30-second, 60-second commercials work.
Oh, they do, especially when you're in middle and low-income areas, because a lot of people I've met are working 2 jobs, And they say, you know, we've got time for maybe the 5:30 news and the local newspaper. And that's it.
And neither one of those, they're sitting down for the full 30 minutes and watching the news. They're watching it with half of an ear and reading it with half of an eye.
Exactly.
Huh. So what does a pro-environment Republican say about this anti-environment president?
Well, I had lunch with a woman who's a member of a group called the Republicans for Environmental Protection.
Huh?
Yeah, that's the thing. They don't get any media coverage.
You think?
I know. And so we had a lunch, and she said he's the worst environmental president in history. I can't believe the things he's doing. He's not decreasing our dependency on foreign oil. And we had this great hour conversation. She called herself a feminist, in fact.
Huh?
But she voted
for him. Did you kind of feel like you were in la-la land a little bit?
I really did. I really did. She voted for him for 9/11 and security reasons. And she said, I just hope everything else falls into place.
She said that initially, or she is saying that today?
She says that when she voted and today. And then she emailed me the next day, and she said, you know, I shouldn't have criticized the president.
Stop.
I feel like even though Republicans are right in their criticism, they should keep their mouth shut.
Stop it.
And that, I think, was really crucial because I've met so many moderates, especially in Texas, who said, I'll talk to you, but I don't want you to use my name. He's got so many connections here, and I don't want my social circles to know how I feel.
Why? What is their fear?
Well, some people were applying for jobs, and they didn't want the employer to know.
They didn't want the employer to know that they were anti, not anti-Bush, but anti-policies of Bush.
Exactly. And people still can't make that distinction between anti-government / anti-Bush. Or anti-war, anti-troop. I mean, you still hear that all over the place. And some people said, you know, my husband's a surgeon. I don't want his patients to know how I feel. It's just not very popular to be against Bush in Texas.
You think once you get out of high school that this whole popularity, what will my friends think, outfit wearing type of thing would evaporate?
Right. Well, that was in the more high-income, affluent area of Texas. This was in Highland Park in Dallas.
Okay.
And this was interesting because I spent the day in this upscale mall. What I'm doing is going to malls or Walmarts. Of course, they're in every small town in America.
Well, what does an upscale mall look like?
Well,
we probably don't have a counterpart here in St. Louis.
Right. Well, it's an outdoor mall. You've got Chanel and Escada and incredibly upscale grocery stores, Hummers, SUVs, very expensive bags, a lot of incredibly upscale shops that you would see in the Upper West Side of New York.
Or in the movies.
Or in the movies, exactly. So I interviewed a lot of people there, and there was such a distinction between people there and in the African-American lower-income neighborhood in Dallas, which was about 10 minutes south. And in the upscale neighborhood, I didn't find any African-Americans. And they all said they were in favor of the war, yet they knew no one in Iraq. So the next day I went to the African-American neighborhood, and I went to the mall there. And they were mostly discount stores. There's no coffee shop. There's no bookstore. And every person I interviewed knew someone in Iraq, and they're against the war, and they could rattle off the reasons in minutes about no connection to 9/11. They talked about the Downing Street memo. I mean, these people knew what was going on, and the people in Highland Park had no clue. And it was such a distinction over the course of 24 hours. You've got the wealthy people who are in favor of the war but know no one in Iraq. You've got the African-Americans who have relatives or friends over there, and they realize that the war was sold based on lies.
Did you do a comparison? Because I've never been to Texas, but I suspect, as there are all over the country, there are upper-middle-class, African-American communities. Did you do a comparison of class to class?
I tried. In the upper-class neighborhoods in Dallas, in Highland Park, I learned that the first African-American couple moved in 3 years ago. And if you can believe this, the local newspaper had a headline that said, guess who's coming to dinner?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can read. I have excerpts of that at my website, storiesinamerica.org. If you go to the May section, there's information about that. And I did interview a couple of African-Americans who go to the college there. It's Laura Bush's alma mater. The name just escaped me. The Southern Methodist University. And that was really interesting because they talked a lot about what it's like to go to school there, you've got a lot of wealthy white kids. And the question is, where are you summering? And this really great guy I interviewed, he said, what, summering? What does that mean? And he just talked a lot about coming from a poor area, going to these rich areas, and talking about the dialogue and what it's like to be the only Democrat in class, what it's like to be the only African-American kid in class. So that was interesting.
Well, why is he going to the school?
He got a scholarship, and he said that he wanted a good education, and it was a great opportunity. And he really wanted to find out what that side of life was like and to give people in that community a taste of what his life is like.
I would love to talk to him in 30 years.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
To see if he still felt like that was a good decision at the time.
Well, he's graduating soon. Okay. He said it was a great decision.
I understand. Coming out of the mouth of a 22-year-old,
yeah.
I think 30 years from now or 20 years from now would be an interesting conversation.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So when you did you go to Hispanic communities?
I did, in Texas in the South. When you look on the map, the county map, it's the only blue area on the whole map. And so I thought, all right, what's going on there? So I had to drive down to South Texas and Crystal City and Laredo, that area. And it's dominated by a lot of poor Hispanics. And I went to a flea market and asked people, why did John Kerry win here but nowhere else in the state? And they said, well, we're poor Hispanics. Why do you think? We're Democrats. And it was interesting because I did pass one huge Viva La Bush sign in the backyard of a house. So I stopped by and knocked on the door, and this family invited me in and fed me Mexican pastries, and it was really interesting. They said that they decided to switch parties because they're sick of being the party of welfare. And they said, we're poor Republicans, and we don't want to be the party of welfare anymore. But everybody else I met in that town was Democrat.
Well, to me, as a woman of African descent, I continue to hear people say that I support the Democrats. But when you ask them, what is it that Kerry articulated that said that it was going to speak to the issues in your community, the issues in your life, the issues that you have as a person of African descent, there isn't anything specific.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you still have that support. It's almost like the same type of blind support that we have on the Republican side.
That's right. A lot of people can't articulate, and a lot of, especially poor people that I have interviewed, have just said the Democrats have been the party of the worker and the poor. But they're not really happy with the message because they don't hear what they want to hear. And people really want to hear about basic issues. What was really interesting on this trip is when I first started out, I've been going to churches as part of the project every Sunday and sometimes Wednesday just to find out what draws people to different churches, mm-hmm. and also to find out if the pastor talks about politics. And in the beginning, a lot of people talked about gay marriage. But now that gas prices have gone up and it's really hitting people in the pocketbook, they're not talking about gay marriage.
You
because
think?
They realize it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect them. And so they're saying in the same breath, gas prices are high, and why are we still at war? And that's been interesting because I've gotten a lot of people who voted for Bush who are upset about gas. It's $2.60 in Oklahoma and reaching, you know, $2.70, and people are really feeling it in their pocketbooks.
Well, when you talk to the Republicans that talk about the gas prices, are these Republicans that are of a different economic class than the Republicans that you talked to originally that supported the war and supported George W. Bush?
Yes. I've been spending a lot of time in middle-lower-income rural communities, and it's not common to find a lot of wealthy people in those areas. And so I've met people who, like I said, are working a few jobs or who've been laid off a few years ago because their towns are literally just disappearing. And they said, I voted for Bush, I've always been a Republican, or I just didn't hear what I wanted to hear from Kerry, and I'm just not happy with him. A lot of people said they went into the ballot box and just felt really torn, like they didn't have a choice. And I've also been meeting people who don't vote. They're so disconnected from the federal government, and they feel like their vote doesn't matter. They feel like the voting system's flawed. And these are people of all ages. We always hear in the media that the young people don't vote. Well, people of all ages don't vote. I mean, half the country doesn't vote. That's why I hate this whole red state, blue state thing. Mm-hmm. If we added a color of the non-voters, that would dominate, I expect. But a lot of people say, I just don't feel like they care about what I care about. And their special interests. I heard that they give tax breaks to the energy companies. And they're just incredibly disenchanted with the process.
Overall, do you find that the people that you talk to are very informed about the situation that the country is in right now?
No. you talk about the bills that Bush passed before he went on his biking vacation, CAFTA and energy bill. And when you bring those up, people don't even know what they are. They have no idea what are in those bills. A lot of people know about a Social Security plan, although they don't know what it entails. A lot of us don't. But they're not in favor of it. A lot of people say, I'm going to get Social Security in 10 years. He just needs to leave it alone. And you talk about the Downing Street memo, never comes up. People who are pretty informed don't even know what that is. And you say, why are you opposed to the war? Well, I know some people who have been killed, because in the small communities, they're directly connected to people in Iraq. And they never bring up the Downing Street memo. Some people still think the weapons have been found.
Well, when you talk, we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Rose Aguilar, a San Francisco reporter. She's in Wyoming right now. She's investigating this whole red state, blue state. A blue state reporter is journeying through the multicolored regions of the Lone Star State and others. This is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
And every breath we drew. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Fazoli's. Westbound 70 at Adelaide. There's a disabled vehicle partially blocking a traffic lane. Eastbound 40 at 54 Chesterfield Parkway. An accident has been cleared to the shoulder, but traffic jams all the way back to Boone's Crossing. Westbound 40 at Ballas. An accident reported on the exit ramp. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and a brewery. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge. No problems there. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. You have slow volume there as well. Northbound 270 is stop and go on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Look for a heavy volume. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood to Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballas to Lindbergh. Slow as well. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. Everything's running smoothly. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue all the way to 5570 split. Look for a slow volume there. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. It is stop and go in your 730 commute. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from the ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect slow volume there. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to Laclede's Landing. No problems to report there. Merrimack at California. There's a report of an injury accident, as well as North Broadway at Schweitzer. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Fazoli's Restaurants. Try Fazoli's new Italian meat sampler for only $3.99 and enjoy Fazoli's new cinnamon or cheese breadsticks, only 49 cents with 4-2 with an entree. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms are likely, the high in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms to continue with a low in the upper 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, the high in the mid-80s. Friday evening, showers and thunderstorms with a low around 70. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers, the high, it should be in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field has 71 under partly cloudy skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
As you gear up for your senior year at a St. Louis City High School, push your sight and goals beyond the diploma you will receive next spring. The latest statistics show that a college graduate will earn $2.5 million more in a lifetime than a high school graduate. So invest in your future with a college education. It pays big dividends. How? Through the free services of the Educational Talent Search Program counselor in your high school, who can help you find the right school and program to suit your needs.
Online hunting is okay as long as you're hunting for conspiracies. Catch decent guy Don Griffin online at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Not even here, no one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm
the... Cut the drama. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking this morning to Rose Aguilar. She is a reporter, San Francisco reporter, traveling the red states, trying to understand why, if we are as red as they say, if we are as blue as they say, are those descriptions accurate? Rose, welcome back.
Thank you.
What I wanted to ask you is, how did... safety factor into the people that you talk to? Do people talk about not feeling safe, that did they connect safety to the war? Was that different between red and blue?
They talk a lot about voting for Bush because of 9/11, and a lot of people have said, I would much prefer the war be fought on someone else's soil than ours. And terrorist attacks come up almost in every conversation. Mm. And people talked about the London bombings. And people have some pretty nasty things to say about Muslims and people who don't know any Muslims. And again, it's because of some nasty things people hear, not only in the media, but in their churches. I went to one church in Indianola, Mississippi. It was a Baptist church, incredibly conservative Baptist church. And when I say conservative, I mean it's not like a mega church where people are up dancing, but they're seated with their hands in their laps.
And what did the audience look like, or the parishioners look like?
It was white, upper class. Everybody was in their 70s and 80s, so very conservative. And the pastor got up and literally started screaming from the pulpit and said, when Arabs are born, they're taught to hate and kill Jews. And when I talked to people afterwards, I said, how did you feel about that statement? And a woman next to me said, you know, I was uncomfortable with it, and I've been coming to this church for 50 years. We hired this pastor 3 years ago, and a lot of us are really uncomfortable with his negative tone. She said, you know, I don't know any Arabs. Arabs don't live in this area. In fact, Jews don't live in this area. But she said he talks a lot about that. So you feel a sense of discomfort and almost hate toward people that a lot of these people have never met.
Are you surprised to hear people say, no, I don't agree with what Bush is doing. I think it's harmful. I think it's not positive. I don't agree with what my pastor's saying. I think it's harmful. I think it's not positive. But I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, definitely. That's been one of the themes on the trip, is a lot of people don't speak out. And, in fact, when I've met hardcore Democrats in incredibly conservative areas, I've asked them, do you talk to your Republican friends about these issues? And people say, we don't talk about politics.
And the reason?
It's too too controversial. It's a lot of people in these areas say we don't talk religion, we don't talk politics, we just don't do it. Dissent is frowned upon in a lot of these areas. In fact, even some of the Republicans I've met have said, my best friend's a hardcore Democrat, she loves Hillary Clinton, I can't stand the woman, but that's an issue we just avoid. They don't, and coming from places just like St. Louis, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, it's just part of everyday life. You talk about politics out in the open, but in a lot of these places, you just don't go there because it's controversial, and a lot of people don't want to push the envelope.
Well, how many states have you visited?
I visited Texas, Mississippi, Oklahoma, spent a little time in Kansas, Nebraska, and Wyoming.
And how many more do you have left? Are you done?
No, I'm going to Montana next.
Now, are there specific types of questions that you ask people, or do you just let them talk?
I let them talk because, again, I feel like the media does such a disservice. You hear these sound bites about why people oppose gay marriage or why they're against abortion, and you don't have any depth. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this trip, is to actually have in-depth conversations with people and really find out where their political beliefs come from. So first off, I just ask them to describe the area and how it's changed over the years, how it leans politically, and then how they feel about different issues. And it's been really great because in some instances, people have invited me into their homes, they've taken me to dinner, or you know, I've met people in parking lots and we end up having a half hour, 45 minute conversation. So people really want to share their stories, and they're so sick of the Michael Jackson, the Runaway Bride, the Aruba. They really want substance, but a lot of people just don't have a lot of time to find it.
When you went to the churches,
mm-hmm.
What kind of churches did you go to? Did you go to middle class black churches? Did you go to middle class white churches? Middle class Hispanic churches? What kind of churches did you go to?
I went to all of the churches you mentioned and then some.
Uh-huh.
Because in the South you find a church on every corner, which is really interesting. It took a while for me to get used to that. But you've got every flavor of church, and sometimes you don't know what you're walking into.
Mm-hmm.
The mega church is really fascinating for me because I've never been to one. And I went to one in Austin, Texas, and I've been to about five since then. And it's a church of about 3,000 people, a lot of flashy lights, two screens on stage, and it's usually a husband and wife team who preach. But if you blindfolded someone and took them in during the music section, you would really think that you were just at a bad rock concert.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's loud music, people are up dancing with their hands in the air, and it really feels almost like a self-help class. They talk a lot about taking stress out of your life. Maybe make about five passages about the Bible. But other than that, it doesn't necessarily feel like church. But the interesting thing is, you've got 3,000 people listening to this pastor's every word and really holding on to it. And I went to one in Oklahoma City.
Well, did you find politics in those big mega churches?
I did. But they do it in a roundabout way. They talk about life and how important that is. In some of the mega churches, they talk about homosexuality being a sin. And they talk about how important it is to support the president in a time of war. In one church, they had a guest who was kidnapped in Iraq. He was working for a contractor and was kidnapped, and this was a Let Freedom Ring event. And the pastor asked
him. There was no irony about him being a contractor?
No, none at all.
Or discussion about how much money he made as compared to how much our soldiers make?
Right. Well, he was a dairy farmer, and he said that God called him to go over there.
As a contractor, but not as a soldier.
Exactly.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. And after he was done speaking, the pastor got up and said, it's really important to support our president. And he got a standing ovation. This was a Baptist church of 3,000 people.
But this was a contractor. This was not a soldier.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they had soldiers come up on stage who've been in different wars in the past, like the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and people gave them standing ovations. So there's definitely a mix between politics and religion. And what I do is interview the pastor after the service and ask them how they feel about that. And some kind of skirt the issue and say, well, we talk about it once in a while, but we don't talk about it as often as the media likes to think. But then when I interview the congregation, they say during the election, it was definitely talked about. Now, in the black churches, what's really interesting is the black pastor said, hey, politics is part of our church. If it weren't for the church, who knows what would have happened during the civil rights movement, because we didn't have country clubs. We didn't have meeting places. And they say, this is a place where we talk about politics. But the difference is, a lot of the blacks that I interviewed, who are incredibly religious, say they're against gay marriage and they're against abortion, but they don't feel that they should be political issues. And they say, you know, what right do I have to tell people what to do with their lives? And I said, so you'd never vote Republican, considering that they run on this anti-abortion, anti-gay platform. And a lot of the blacks that I met said, no, those should not be political issues. And that was a major distinction between the white churches and the black churches. And in the South, they're still segregated. I went to the black churches, and maybe there was one white person, and I went to the white churches, and maybe one black, although the mega churches are much more mixed. I saw a lot of blacks in the mega churches, I didn't in a lot of the smaller churches.
Well, when you saw black people, a lot of black people in the mega churches, were any of the preachers or the pastors black?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll get back to some of your calls and questions. I'm talking to Rose Aguilar. She's a San Francisco radio reporter. She's in all over the red states, trying to find out if we are as red as they say, if we are as blue as we say. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Pittsburgh. About 100 people managed to shut down the main military recruiting station in Pittsburgh this past weekend. The demonstration remained peaceful until a cameraman from Fox News became hateful and aggressive and started shoving some of the protesters around. The police then intervened and started using pepper mace and tasers on the demonstrators. A police dog was also brought in to disperse the crowd, and several people were bitten, including a 68-year-old grandmother. Another man in a wheelchair was knocked to the ground by police during the incident. Six people were arrested, and ironically, the Fox network is pressing charges against the first protester who was arrested for assaulting their cameraman. And Dateline Hollywood. Universal Studios has announced that production of a new movie about the events of 9/11 will begin sometime in October. The film has a $15 million budget and will cover the happenings aboard United Airlines Flight 93. The director of the project, Paul Greengrass, says he will use handheld cameras and other special techniques to give the film a sense of reality. Greengrass says it will depict how passengers with cell phones found out about the two planes hitting the World Trade Center and then realized their plane was headed for a similar fate in Washington, D.C. It comes to a conclusion that the passengers made a decision to sacrifice their own lives to bring down the plane over Pennsylvania. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Mom! Phone!
Hello?
Hi. I'm calling about the lost cat poster.
Oh, you found Trixie Belle?
Well, are her eyes as emerald green as in your picture?
Yep.
And her fur is kind of a deep orangey rust with a small patch of white on her left side. Not snowy white, but more kind of like...
Creamy white. You've got her.
Not really. I was just looking at your poster. Would you mind telling me what kind of printer you have? I mean, the colors, the resolution. It's just...
Whether you want brilliant printing, photo lab quality photos, or all-in-one functionality, HP has an award-winning printer and the price you've been waiting for.
It was about our printer again, huh?
There's still time to save 10% on the perfect printer. Just call 800-664-MY-HP or visit your local retailer by this Saturday the 27th. Your new HP printer. Brilliantly simple. This special offer applies to HP printers under $1,000 and ends this Saturday. Some restrictions apply. For more information, call 800-664-MY-HP. HP. Invent.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Friday morning on The Wake Up Call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say. Don't you whip that ball.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Rose Aguilar. She's a San Francisco reporter going around the red states to find out what the beat of this nation is. Is it red? Is it blue? Is it something in between? Let me get to some of our callers here. Carfo, you have a question.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
I just wanted to tell her that I was in the South about a month ago, and this minister was on television called Mother Life Association, but this guy had a mural behind him. It had to be two stories tall. It had Saddam Hussein on it. It had a God on it. It had an Orwell on it. It had the three-headed demon on it, and this man was preaching from the pulpit about the war. I could not believe what I was hearing.
What was he saying, preaching about the war?
He was just preaching about the war. He was telling how we should hate Saddam Hussein and how. But I didn't understand the Orwell. I didn't understand the three-headed demon. And Saddam Hussein, when his picture was on there, and a picture of God. And he was preaching from the pulpit about the war.
Got
and
it.
I said, now this is how these Southerners are getting this idea about this war. Literally preaching about it. And he never said the word, he seldom used the word love or kindness. It was all about the war. So I'm glad that somebody is seeing what I saw because I could not believe it.
Thanks for your call. Is Saddam Hussein's name mentioned in churches? Do you hear things that specific, Rose?
I have not heard Saddam Hussein in church yet, but I completely understand what the caller's talking about because that's going on. And there's actually a really interesting preacher in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's an African-American, and he went to Oral Roberts University, which is an incredibly conservative school. And he was an evangelist, and he was supposed to be brought up through the ranks to become a very incredibly conservative preacher. And he had an epiphany. And he was talking exactly about the preachers that the caller just mentioned and said, I was supposed to become one of those preachers. But I realized that I'm not talking about love anymore. I'm not talking about forgiveness. I mean, a lot of the people that I've met in the South say that they voted for Bush because he's a Christian. But the turn the other cheek and love your neighbor never comes up.
So what is the Christian that they see in him?
Well, he talks about God so often and says that God sent him to Iraq. And so they hear those things. And they hear that he was saved. And they really like that. But when you ask about policies, they can't give you one policy they like. And I said, well, every president was a Christian. So, you know, where does that come in? And they said, well, they're not all practicing Christians. But the Republicans have done such a good job of really bringing religion to the forefront of Bush's campaign. And again, a lot of the churches have said they endorse Bush because he's a Christian and pro-life. But when you bring up the death penalty and war, they excuse it.
Well, you know, the thing with Pat Robertson, and, you know, that's in the news right now about the advocacy to assassinate Hugo Chavez. Is that something that you're going to talk to people about?
I will. And, in fact, I've been doing some interviews at gas stations, and I interviewed a woman who really sparked a lot of flame wars on my website because she, when I asked her where she gets her news, she said she gets it from the Bible and Pat Robertson.
Oh.
And, yeah, but, you know, it's interesting to actually meet people who believe what Pat Robertson says or watches the 700 Club. And when sometimes when we arrive in small towns or even big towns and flip on the TV, you've got some incredibly religious shows, people praying for the Supreme Court justice and really offering some false information about where they stand or where people should call your senator and tell them that you will accept no less than John Roberts. But they never really talk about where he stands on issues. It's always life. But there's such a hypocrisy there because they're against abortion, but hey, if you, we got to go to war, we got to go to war, and the death penalty's fine.
Well, pro-life, but let's kill Hugo.
Exactly.
Let me get to some more of our callers because folks really want to talk to you. Car phone, you have a question or comment for our guest?
Oh, yes, I have a comment. And I wanted to speak on reference of the Christian world and, well, the Christian in America's, you know, standing behind Bush, you know, with this election and war and everything. You know, I'm a Christian myself, but I'm almost ashamed to say that I am because, you know, the Christians today really have made God look bad. And, you know, if he's pro-life, then, you know, all this killing that he's doing over in Iraq, you know, and lied to the American people about the war, I can't understand how the Christians can stand behind him, you know.
All right. Thanks for that. That's a great observation. Thank you, caller. Christians have made God look bad. Do you see that? Do people articulate that out there, Rose?
They do. And there are so many Christians out that I've been meeting that do not agree with Bush. And they just say that the left, the Democrats, the liberal, whatever you want to call them, those Christians really need to speak out. Because in the larger cities and on the coast, a lot of people are uncomfortable with religion because they automatically think of Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell. And, of course, the media calls on those men because they're so controversial and because they'll say things like, let's assassinate Hugo Chavez. When, in fact, there are a lot of people on the left, but they're just not out in the media.
But do the left have the same problems that the you talked about the when you went to the black churches, that they said, no, I'm against abortion, no, I am against that, but I think it's a private matter. Does the left have the issue of, it's private, why should I it feels like I'm proselytizing to people to tell them that, that's not what Christianity is about.
They do. They feel the same way, and then there are also groups of Christians who are pro-choice, the Catholics for free choice, for example. But they just say that we really need to be louder and really talk about religion because the left tends to say, you know, there of course there's a separation of church and state, whereas a lot of Republicans say there shouldn't be. But a lot of people on the left say we really need to speak openly about our religion, whereas in the past they just didn't do that because it shouldn't have been a political issue. But when you've got Republicans sending people in the South pamphlets before the election and say if Kerry wins, the Bible is going to be banned, they really need to stand up to that.
Let me get to another caller here. Car phone, another car phone.
Yeah, Liz, I'm listening to you and your guest. To me, it appears that many of the Republicans, and I hate to generalize, they're Old Testament Christians. When you look and see the things that they talk about, they're more parallel with the things that are listed in the Old Testament, whereas the so-called liberals are New Testament Christians, and you know, they should just come out and say that. I don't call an Old Testament a Christian.
Thanks for your call. Is it that simple, Rose?
I got a mix. People talk a lot about the Old Testament and the New Testament. When they're talking about gay marriage, they cite things from the Bible, but then you've got the left saying, well, if that's the case, then you can't wear two different types of material on your clothing, and women can't wear gold jewelry, and divorce is a sin. So it was pretty mixed based on the people that I've met so far.
You have a question?
Thank you, Ms. Brown, for your guest. Rose, I appreciate what you're doing. It's so true because, Rose, I even heard a minister say his name is Adrian Rogers. I hope you run into him, Rose, while you're on your trip. He says if you're in a liberal church, you need to get out of that church, Rose. I can't stand the way the conservatives have taken the word liberal and made it sound so dirty. This is how they won. If you're liberal, you're dirty, Rose. And like I said, keep on doing what you're doing, Rose, because I hope this never happens again, and I hope you run into Howard Dean, too. Thank you, Rose.
So do we have people out there like that? I mean,
without question, and the caller is so right. The word liberal has so much anger behind it. And another reason why I wanted to take this trip is I'm so sick of these terms, far right, Christian right, liberal. What does this mean? So I've been asking people, define liberal for me, because when I meet people, they'll say, oh, Cindy Sheehan, the woman who's camping in front of Bush's ranch in Crawford, is being used by the liberals. And I'll say, what does this mean? They say communists, socialists. But when they're pushed far, they become pretty uncomfortable because I'll say, all right, what is liberal agenda? They really don't know how to answer that. They're literally repeating Bill O'Reilly and the Rush Limbaughs and the Republican rhetoric.
I get that on the show all the time. When you push people to define the terms that they are so consistently and adamantly using, they can't because it's never defined for them.
Exactly.
And I want to thank you very much. Rose, where can people find out more information about your trip?
My website is storiesinamerica.org.
Storiesinamerica.org. Rose Aguilar, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back in the next hour. Please, don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. Tropical storm Katrina, sweeping across the Bahamas now, is moving towards South Florida. Here's Dave Roberts at the National Hurricane Center in Miami.
We have a hurricane warning up from Florida City all the way up to Vero Beach. So with that in mind, hurricane force winds are expected as it moves closer to the coast.
Roberts forecasts landfall tomorrow morning. The forecast today for the Base Realignment and Closure Commission is good news for some states and bad news for others. Yesterday, the federal panel rejected some Pentagon plans for military bases, but let others stand.
Still to come are major votes on proposals to close Air Force bases in Texas, Utah, Massachusetts, and South Dakota, among other places, and a proposal to shut down the historic Walter Reed Army Medical Center, where many wounded veterans returning from Iraq are treated, and to replace it with a new hospital.
ABC's Vic Ratner in Washington. Might this be a sign that home prices in the U.S. are soon to stop soaring? ABC News financial contributor Melody Hobson has seen some new government statistics.
Third month in a row that median home prices have fallen. It was $219,000 last month. This month it's $203,000. That's a 7% drop.
And it came in sales of existing homes, which also were staying on the market longer. Sales of new homes rose. The soaring price of gasoline has caused the state of Hawaii to impose a price cap.
Beginning next week, the wholesale price of gas in Hawaii can't be over $2.16 a gallon. Under a new law, the State Public Utilities Commission will set a price cap weekly based on what the rest of the U.S. is paying. Right now, gas in Hawaii is the highest in the country, averaging $2.84 a gallon. But starting next week, when the new law goes into effect, it's expected to drop dramatically.
But ABC's Alex Stone reports there's an if. If retailers follow wholesale prices, retail prices are not kept. This is ABC News.
When Jim bought his wife the newly designed Maytag Neptune, the largest capacity front load washer, he saw the effects immediately.
Now when I have the guys over, my wife doesn't just pop her head in. She stays for the whole game. She used to not even know who was playing. Now my friends call her for the picks. Next weekend, she's going on a fishing trip with the guys. That sure was fun last year. But I got plans this weekend anyway. The guys' wives invited me over for my first scrapbooking party.
The less laundry you have to do, the more living you can do. Thanks to the Maytag Neptune High Efficiency Washer, which has the largest front load capacity available, you can do more loads in less time. It even fits a king-size comforter and is tough on stains, yet protects your clothes too. There's less laundry, more life with Maytag. Depend on us. Now get a $100 gift card when you buy a Maytag Neptune washer and dryer. Offer ends 10/16/05. See Maytag.com for details.
Of the 490 female students at one high school in Ohio, more than 60 of them are pregnant. ABC's Chuck Sievertson says nobody seems to know why it happens at that school.
The 60-plus numbers confirmed by ABC News and the principal telling a local paper, The Repository. The pregnancy rate above 17% at Canton, Ohio's Timken High School is not new. In the rest of Ohio, the school pregnancy rate was 7% last year. Canton's was 15. In 2003, Canton's was 18%. The year before, 17. There's been a 10-year decline in teen pregnancy in the rest of the U.S. Drawbacks of teen pregnancy are well known, and fault-finding isn't usually fruitful, but school officials say in this case, it's critical. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Some newly declassified recordings show that advisors warned President John Kennedy in 1963 that it might be necessary to use nuclear weapons to defend India against China. Defense Secretary Robert McNamara told Kennedy that would be preferable than sending in U.S. ground troops. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Brian Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission continues its final hearings today on which military installations should close or be realigned. The commission has already voted to close two installations in Kansas City and to realign Fort Leonard Wood. The Human Resource Command in Overland and the Air National Guard's 131st Fighter Wing are among the installations whose fates have yet to be determined. The New Life Evangelistic Center hopes a new program will help needy families learn to conserve energy and find an alternative to conventional fuels. Reverend Larry Rice of the New Life Evangelistic Center says some families whose electricity has been shut off can receive solar energy carts and other equipment like power strips and energy-efficient fluorescent light bulbs.
And then they keep daily data on how long they've used it, what appliances they plug in. The 750-watt inverter allows them to put in the number of lights, fan, and the like. They raise the money on their electric bill. Once they've raised half their electric bill and they bring our solar cart back to us, we then will help with the other half of their electric bill, up to $500.
In addition to providing a source of power until the families can have their electric service restored, Rice says the solar energy carts will help teach people how to watch the amount of energy they consume. Anyone wanting information on the solar electric generation program may call 314-421-3020. When it comes to pain, there may be something to the adage mind over matter. Researchers at the University of Michigan have found that merely thinking that a medicine will relieve pain is enough to prompt the brain to release its own natural painkillers. Their study was based on brain scans of 14 healthy volunteers who agreed to have a less than pleasant but non-harmful shot into their jaw muscles. During the scans, the subjects were told that they would receive a medicine that might relieve pain. The study in the Journal of Neuroscience is believed to be the first to show the placebo effect extends beyond the psychological. Finally this hour, after a pair of days off following a preseason defeat Sunday in San Diego, the St. Louis Rams returned to practice on Wednesday in Earth City. Defensive back Adam Archuleta returned to his original position of strong safety after moving temporarily to free safety. Michael Hawthorne occupied the free safety position with the first string replacing Archuleta. The team will work out again Thursday afternoon in a practice that is closed to the public. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Introducing McDonald's Premium Chicken Sandwiches, the Classic Lettuce and Tomato, the Ranch BLT, and the Club. Choose from grilled or crispy chicken starting at just $3.29. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the American Red Cross. Northbound 270 between 55 and Doherty Ferry. Stop and go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 Blanchett Bridge. Look for a left lane closed and the construction zone. Traffic is jammed approaching 94. Eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge, look for road construction, and that has the left lane, right lanes closed due to final stages in that bridge work. Northbound 55 between Germania and 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack, look for slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow volume there as well. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into West Fullerton, you have slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Big Bend, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, you've got stop-and-go traffic as well. Westbound 64 to 55, or at 255 and the 55-70 split, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing, nothing to report this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, you got slow traffic this hour. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the American Red Cross. American Red Cross blood supplies are extremely low. Your blood donation is needed now. Please call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule a blood donation appointment. That's 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms are likely today, high in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms with a low in the upper 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers. The high in the mid-80s Friday evening, partly showers and thunderstorms with a low around 70. And Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I think that there should be a call. I think that there should be a demand. I think that there should be a hue and a cry from everybody who considers himself a human, from everybody that is concerned about the future of this of the world that we live in. It is unacceptable is not a big enough word, but I'm going to start with it. It is unacceptable. It's not a big enough word. Unacceptable is not big enough. To say you want somebody dead because you disagree with their politics, dead. And to say that you want a president of a country killed by your country, to say that on the nationally owned airwaves, to say that as a friend of George W. Bush and as a billionaire who ran for the presidency, that's a big deal. And everybody should be directing their collective outrage and intolerance at an individual who would do so. It must be a crime to say on national airwaves, kill somebody. It must be a crime. It must be a crime. It's a crime if you or I say it. So it must be a double, triple whammy of a crime to say it, to advocate it. And you know what? And here's the thing. These folks are what's the technical term that I'm looking for? There's a technical term to describe the Pat Robertsons of the world. Oh, I know what the technical term is. Punk. Talk all that smack about how you want somebody killed. Talk all that tough smack about the government should go. No, I'm not going to. You know what? I'm not going to speak for you. I'm going to let you speak for yourself. This is what he said. This is what he said.
We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-armed dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with.
Okay, you said it. You said it. But what makes you the technical legal term punk is this. Pat Robertson said, and I quote, "I didn't say assassination. I said our special forces should take him out. Take him out could be a number of things, including kidnapping." Listen for your own self.
We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-armed dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with.
And what he said before that is, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination. If he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think we really ought to go ahead and do it. That's what he said. If he thinks we are trying to assassinate him, then I think we really ought to go ahead and do it. What are you talking about? Plant flowers? The it you're talking about is assassinate him. And when they played the tape of his own, now his first response, after talking all that tough smack, his first response was a response of a coward. I didn't say that, a coward and a liar. 75-year-old, 78-year-old coward and liar. I didn't say that. I didn't say assassination. I didn't say that. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. After they played the tape of what he said for him, after they played that, he said, okay, and I'm going to his website. I'm going to the official site of Pat Robertson. Going to his official website. And, you know, and you got to get past the Bring It On book that he's written. You got to click on through the Pat's age-defying antioxidants. You got to move on past the Pat Robertson's age-defying shake. Well, how about idiot-defying shake? Why don't you try to take one of those? Why don't you try to take one of those non-murdering antioxidants? He has all this stuff for sale. Pat Robertson's age-defying protein pancakes. Huh? Why don't you just tell her what it is? All of my stuff is common sense-defying. All of my stuff is Christian-defying. All of my stuff is love-defying. So when you want, she wants you to scroll past all of the stuff that this corporate Christian, this prophet Christian, this money lusting Christian, when she wants you to scroll past all of the stuff that truly defies who he is, bring it on. He means bring the money on. You get to his quote-unquote apology. Now, most of us have all been children. I mean, that some people I really think came from pods, but I haven't seen the film of it. But I just believe that they came out from pods and not from human beings. But most of us have been children. You know when you don't mean it. When your mama makes you apologize, when your daddy makes you apologize for something that you didn't, you know, that you felt justified in doing. And as you get older, you learn how to apologize for stuff. You know, those that are insincere, those are dishonest, those that will never take ownership of any wrong thing that they do. Those are the folks that will articulate an apology that has nothing to do with apology. It's just a statement of getting out of the hot situation. Listen to what headlines are giving Pat Robertson credit for an apology. Let me use his own dang words. Here is what his words are saying on his website. His press release says, Pat Robertson clarifies his statement regarding Hugo Chavez. Does that say apology? Is that the word apology in any of that? Press release. Pat Robertson clarifies his statement regarding Hugo Chavez. You said you should assassinate. Clarify. Then the first paragraph reads, and again, look for the word apology. I want to take this opportunity to clarify remarks made on the Monday, August 22nd edition of the 700 Club, where I, again, this is like the child. This is like the bad seed child that doesn't want to take ownership of their criminal actions or their wrongdoing. He goes on to say, where I ad-libbed. Huh? Does that take... Yeah, I ad-libbed a statement to you saying you're stupid to my brother. You don't get to say you're stupid to your brother, whether it's an ad-libbed or a pre-prepared statement. You know? You said it. Now he wants to distance himself from it as a child wants to a bad seed child wants to distance themselves from their statement. I ad-libbed a comment following a very brilliant analysis by blah, blah, blah of the danger that the United States faces from an out-of-control dictator. Out of control. Isn't that interesting that he used that word? Dictator Hugo Chavez. In my frustration and my frustration that the U.S. and the world communities are ignoring this threat, I said the following. Then he goes on. Then he writes about, I don't know, about, I guess, 200 or 300 words of words about this. Then he says in the final paragraph, is it right to call for an assassination. No. And I apologize for that statement. I spoke it in frustration that we ought to accommodate a man who thinks the United States is out to kill him. So let me get this straight. Should Venezuela accommodate the United States now that they have all the oil that we need? Now that the United States has people, billionaires in the United States, billionaires with airways, billionaires that speak to millions of Americans, billionaires that have access to phone calls with conversations with George W. Bush, billionaires that say that our government should kill him. And our government hasn't said, you know what, this was wrong. They just simply said, we didn't say that. We don't do that. Ask Patrice Lumumba's family if the United States government assassinates people. Ask his family. So he says, is it right to call for an assassination? No, I apologize for that. But I was frustrated and I ad-libbed. Ain't that some stuff? It's not an apology. That is not an apology. You know what? I'm going to read you the definition of the word apology. I'm going to read you the definition, but before I do that, I'm going to get to some of your calls here. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Barbara.
Hi, Liz. How are you this morning?
I am outstanding.
Great. I think when he made his so-called apology, he had taken a lie-defying shake, protein shake, because he's been the same person for years. He was back to Ronald Reagan and the Constantinista rebellion over there, and he supported all of the murders that went on in South America back in the...
He said the black people shouldn't be able to vote in South Africa. He supported the apartheid government. Can we get the dictionary, Howard?
Right, and he also was involved in something in Libya with the diamond, so he's always been stealing other people's things and justifying them with praying to God.
Justifying his disobedience to God.
Exactly, and it's just really sad when you have African Americans sending money to him and not recognizing that there is no Christ in a person that would do anything like that, and I strictly wonder if there is any Christ, period. I think it's something that they made up, and it's just catching up with them. But they had it on Democracy Now! Yesterday that a gentleman that was speaking about him, that the Pat Robertsons of the world wouldn't hesitate in killing Americans that disagree with their policy, and that's all I wanted to kind of bring to the front.
Thanks,
they would take out anybody that don't agree with them taking over and ruling. They want to clean America up and make it whatever they want it to be, which is kind of confusing right now.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. The word apology and the dictionary to apologize is to acknowledge with regret any fault or offense. To acknowledge with regret any fault or offense. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. A formal acknowledgement of an error or offense or incivility. What did Pat Robertson say? Is it right to call for an assassination? And I apologize for that statement. I spoke it in frustration, huh? That ain't an apology. That's not regret. That says I did it because I was frustrated. That's not regret. Did he say he was wrong? Did he say it won't happen again? Did he say that he shouldn't have done it? He says that he's justified for it and sorry that it came out of his mouth. Nowhere in here does he say that it is wrong. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Car phone.
Hey, Liz. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Ask Martin Luther King's family if we participate in assassination.
Mm.
You know.
Mm.
Pat Robinson has been a pulpit pimp all his life. I wonder if you
he's
remember.
A pimp in the he's a pimp in the pulpit, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
I remember if you, do you remember Ben Kinslow, his tanto at the station that he was on, the black guy?
Never saw that.
You never saw him?
No.
Well, he was with Pat Robinson for about 20 years. My mother used to watch that. And when Pat Robinson ran for president, Ben Kinslow, I guess he thought that since he had been his tanto for all these years, he was going to be able to take over. And Pat Robinson brought his son in and stabbed him in the back. And that's why you don't see Ben Kinslow on 700 Club anymore.
Mm.
You have a good day.
All right. 454-0400, that's my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Liz. I would like to ask you a question. Did you ever see the picture called Soldier?
Soldier?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, it was a picture that I think we are heading right for that picture, what it was all about. And the thing was, they was taking babies from the cribs in the nursery at the birth.
Is this with Kurt Russell?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I did see that. Mm-hmm. I did see that. Mm-hmm.
I think we're two-thirds there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right.
Sad, but...
All right.
All right.
Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Yeah, they took babies from the crib and they trained them to be these without feeling emotionless, without emotion killers for the government. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back at your call. Stay with me.
Strong brother, and there is no one above you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Eastbound 70, the Blanchard Bridge, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked under the construction zone. Traffic is jammed all the way back to Zumbel. Eastbound 44 at Bowles, there's an accident reported. Northbound 55 between Loughboro and Lafayette, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, that traffic is easing this hour. Westbound 270 from 367 to Washington Elizabeth. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to Lindbergh. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. That traffic is finally starting to ease up this hour. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Big Bend. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Big Bend. You've got stop-and-go traffic as well. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road. It's also stop-and-go this hour. Southbound 170 from the Club Tower to 40 is slow in the right lane as you approach Highway 40's on-ramps. Eastbound 40 between Shrewsbury and River de Pere. Rain has slowed the traffic around the bridge there. Westbound 64 at 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSB is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. No problems to report this hour. Route 30 at Little Brennan Road. There's an object on the roadway. Appears to be a piece of machinery lost from a truck. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Looking for a used car? A Carfax Vehicle History Report could save you money and headaches. Don't buy a used car without a Carfax Vehicle History Report. Ask your dealer or go to Carfax.com for more details. That's CARFAX.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms likely. High in the lower 80s this evening. Showers and thunderstorms to continue with a low in the upper 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a high in the mid-80s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU with rain, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting rain and 72 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Us up next, we'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
It's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Friday morning on the wake-up call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to be clear that Pat Robinson is not apologizing for anything, just scroll down as you pass all of these pitches that the pimp in the pulpit is selling. Read the very last paragraph. Now, he first said, is it right to call for an assassination? No, and I apologize for that statement. Really? Read the last paragraph of his statement on his own website. There are many who disagree with my comments. I thought you disagreed with your comments. I thought you apologized for my comments. The line says, there are many who disagree with my comments. But you disagree with your comments now, right? Aren't you part of those that disagree with your comments? Apparently not. He goes on to say, and I respect their opinions. Huh? I thought you shared their opinions. You disagree with your comment too, right? No? Here's what he goes on to say. There are others who think that stopping a dictator is the appropriate course of action. Huh? He then goes on to say, in any event, the incredible publicity surrounding my remarks has focused our government's attention on a growing problem which has been largely ignored. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff. He says, I apologize. Really? What he's saying is that I didn't say nothing wrong. And thanks to what I said about killing him, others will pay attention and get it done. Lord have mercy. And that's why, in case you're wondering, children, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, boys and girls, that's why he calls it his statement. Pat Robertson clarifies his statement regarding Hugo Chavez, huh? 454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I have a resume for you.
What's that?
Cocaine, DWI, No Child Left Behind, 9/11, Osama Bin Laden, Smoke 'em Out, WMDs, War on Terror. No, it's a struggle against Islamic extremism. Democracy for Iraq, Abu Ghraib, Karl Rove, Guantanamo Bay. Thank you.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 45. Is that the kind of resume that you should get a job up off of? Ah, but it's the kind of resume that you would have to steal a job up off of. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Kevin, you're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Hello?
I'm outstanding, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I wanted to kind of talk about your guest, build on something she was talking about.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about my guest, Rose Aguilar, who's a journalist that's traveling through
Red States.
Mm-hmm.
I also did something similar to that through a union. I was with the American Federation of Government Employees, and I was from the Department of Agriculture, and they dealt with the red states. And I just disagree. I don't know if she put a race factor in there. I disagree with her analysis when it came to the reason they're so conservative is because they're because of their religious beliefs. I believe it's racism, and I'm going to say why I believe it. Because I dealt with a lot of red states. I dealt with all kind of people who was from those red states, from Mississippi to Utah. And every time we all got together, they wouldn't even talk to you. It was so bad. I'm talking about they wouldn't even shake your hand if you drink out of the same punch bowl. They wouldn't drink out of it. You know, they were the most racist people I've ever seen. And I think that's a good sampling when you deal with thousands of them who are people who are not educated. Most of them have high school diplomas, you know. And I've very seldom seen how religious they are or their religious convictions. But what I did see was how racist they are, because they hated integration, because when you put them in those comfortable situations, the real them come out. And they hated integration, and they hated affirmative action. You know, I never once saw this religious thing on how religious they are. They don't like you because of color. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Of course, race percolates through every aspect of the world that we live in here in the United States, and there is a correlation between the extremist right, the extremist so-called Christian conservatives, and the issue of racism. When the Timothy McVeighs of the world, it was all about race. There's no question about that. That race is part of the energy, albeit people refuse to talk about it and refuse to admit to it, don't have the courage of their convictions or their belief. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Yes. Now, I think most people forgot that George Bush said it was all right to be a dictator as long as he was a dictator.
That's fact.
Did anybody forget that?
That's fact. That's a fact.
Thanks.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Is this the same Christians that talk about the radical Muslims?
That's why I call Pat Robertson a cleric.
Are these the same Christians that didn't like black people getting their rights in the South?
That is correct.
I remember a lot of those Baptist churches down there in the South during the trying to get voter registration in the 60s and that.
Mm.
So I don't know what... I don't belong to any religious organization, and I wouldn't join any, because from what I see, majority of them are a bunch of hypocrites.
Well, you cannot help but think of the word either pimp or hypocrite as you look at Pat Robertson's official site, because on the side it has home, biography, humanitarian. You know, what part of humanitarian advocates and is non-apologetic for advocacy of killing the president of the United States? He doesn't even call him the President Hugo. He calls him Colonel Chavez.
And these are the same people that talk against abortion and yet...
pro-life.
Yes, and yet they wouldn't...
They wouldn't hesitate to take out
a
life.
They wouldn't help a poor orphan child. They wouldn't give him a dime out of their pocket. I'll make one more quick statement here, and I believe right now as we're talking... Up in the Pentagon in Washington, there's plans to subvert this fellow down in Venezuela.
Subvert? Let's call it what it is. There's plans to kill him.
Because the whole thing's about business. He doesn't want to do business with us.
No, it's not the whole thing is that he doesn't want to do business with us. He has oil, and he won't let the United States, this United States government,
exactly,
take his oil for free.
The Rockefellers developed those oil fields.
That's not business. That's thuggery.
But, yeah, it is, but... Exactly. They want that
they
resources for their own people.
They're coveting his stuff.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, you have a good week, hon.
Take care of yourself. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Time has come today. Young hearts can go their way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Saddam Hussein has fired all his foreign defense lawyers and says he will only deal with his Iraqi lawyer. The former president says that he only wants Khalil Dulami to oversee his case and that he will seek consultation with other lawyers if the need arises. Saddam's family has accused the team of foreign lawyers, which numbered about 20, of using the case to promote themselves and not to take care of his defense. So far, no trial date has been set, but Iraqi officials say it could begin within the next 2 months. And Dateline New York. New York Governor George Pataki is calling for a federal investigation to find out how transcripts of taped phone conversations from his office made it into the New York Post. Some of the conversations are not that exciting, but some are quite lively, such as the one with former Senator Alphonse D'Amato, which features profanity over commissioners not hiring appointees quickly enough. All the conversations involve a former staffer named Thomas Dougherty, who is now a lobbyist consultant. He says he did not tape the phone calls and does not know who did. The Post says it received the transcripts anonymously in the mail, and they seem to cover the first term of Pataki's, starting back in 1996. A law in New York State makes it illegal to record a phone conversation unless one of the parties on the call is aware of the taping. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love. listening, and sensitively responding to the needs at hand and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
Akbar Electric, Commercial Industrial Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568. 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Friday morning on the Wake Up Call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
All alone, I was lost in the world of strangers. No one to trust on my own. I was lost.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes.
I want to remind people to patronize your sponsors, keep the show going. I went down to Sears and got a good deal on a lawnmower.
Did you really? Good for you.
Yeah, and a rear bagger, $159. It was a good deal.
Very good.
Went ahead and got the warranty. But I agree with a lot of things Kevin had to say. You know, this country's a mess.
It is a mess. It really is a mess. The interesting thing that I thought that my guest in the last hour talked about was how people would articulate the problems that they see, but they were not they weren't willing to stand up and to address them in their own churches or in their own communities.
That's right. You have a good day, Liz.
Take care of yourself, William.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Abdul.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Usually I've not called any radio station for over 12 months, but I have been listening with great interest about this criminal Pat Robert thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard anyone refer to him as extremist or criminal.
That's right.
Or racist.
That's right.
Fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, no one has written anything or said anything about calling him Christian terrorist.
That's right.
I think from now on, people, every caller, every writer that writes, should refer to him as Christian terrorist.
Let
them see how it feels.
The Christian terrorist.
When they disagree with other people and they call them names.
Christian terrorist.
Yes. Then the other thing is, I have not heard any government officer anywhere condemning, repudiating, or any organization calling for repudiating and condemning him.
How about taking him off the air?
Okay. That's another one. So now we have thousands of people locked up, innocent people locked up,
mm-hmm.
because they suspect them as a result of the so-called Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
under that Patriot Act, I think this man is not innocent for sure by his inflammatory statement. He should have been picked up,
that's right,
locked up,
that's
and right, investigated.
How about this, Abdul? How about not only should he have been picked up and investigated, but his belongings impounded? Because, I mean, you're not allowed to belong to certain organizations. If you take money from certain organizations are targeted by the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, because of their terrorist behavior and their terrorist comments. These are terrorist statements. These are terrorist comments. He is a Christian terrorist.
That's correct.
Yes,
and,
he is.
And I will hope that the listeners will begin to write their representatives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
About condemning, repudiating, doing all of this stuff against this terrorists.
And you know what else it does, Abdul, and I don't think we've talked enough about this, it gives other people license to say and to do the other thing. Without a condemnation from our government, George W. Bush hasn't said anything, hasn't commented on this. The best that Rumsfeld said is, no, we don't, the CIA doesn't kill people. They didn't say that it was wrong. They didn't say we're going to investigate him. They didn't say any of the stuff that they said about Hugo Chavez.
I think citizens should put pressure on the government, both local, state, and national, to do something about this Christian terrorist, Pat Robert.
That's right.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Hello on the car phone.
I don't have a problem with Christian terrorists. That's perfect.
It is perfect. He is a Christian terrorist.
I wanted to call, you know, I've been hearing people talk about there are certain people who are against the war that want America to lose. And I just wanted to tell these people that if you lie, if you cheat, and you steal, and you go to war, you're not going to win. You're not going to beat a determined people. And that they should have learned their lesson in Vietnam, and I don't understand these people for nothing.
Well, wait a minute. What is it that we would win? What is it that we're winning?
What
is the goal to win here?
Well, I guess we're going to basically take out the insurgents. And,
but the insurgents weren't. But wait a minute. The insurgents weren't there before we got there. There were no insurgents before we got there. So.
And if we leave, they'll leave.
So what is it that we're supposed to win? What is it that those that would criticize folks who are against this occupation to say that, well, you all don't want us to win? What is it that we are trying to win?
Yeah, well, you know what, Liz? That's a good question. You know, all I know is I hear them on the radio all day long.
Well, the question should be posed. What is it that we are trying to win? To get rid of this insurgents, they weren't there before we got there. To bring back electricity, electricity was there before we got there. To give them health care, they had health care before we got there. To give women's rights, well, we're putting in the Constitution that's taking away women's rights, so they had women's rights before we got there. To bring them education, they had that before we got there. To bring them fewer bombs, well, we dropped 50,000 bombs on them. They have bombs now. They had fewer bombs before we got there. What is it that we're bringing? What is it that we're going to win in Iraq? What are we going to win?
We're not going to win anything, Liz.
So how is it that those that are opposed to the war are opposed to winning? There is nothing to win in Iraq.
Nothing. And a lot of people don't realize before 1991, the Iraqis were doing better than most Americans.
I love what Hugo Chavez says. Hugo Chavez for President of the United States. He says, okay, I have gas. It only costs us $2 to fill up our tank in my country. I own gas stations in America. I want poor people to have cheap gas. You can have it. What does our government say about that? They say we need to kill him.
Yeah.
We need to
kill
him. Thanks for
That's
your call.
That's our good CIA.
Whew, thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Caller.
Yes. I was just taken aback by how Pat Robertson was able to make his statement, and the vigor that they are going after him is not compatible or not the same that the vigor that the mass media showed towards the two black DJs
that
here
is correct.
In St. Louis.
That is correct. That is correct.
And I was just wondering...
Where's the police? I would love to see a police officers association come out and make a statement about this Christian terrorist.
Exactly.
Well, where are the police departments on saying that this is a man that called for our government to assassinate? Where are they? Because they want every Muslim person in the world to denounce any bad thing that a Muslim does.
And they have evidence of this Christian terrorist pointedly on TV calling for the assassination of a president of a different country.
That is correct.
With the two black DJs, it was all upon hearsay. And they went after them with so much vigor, it was impossible for them to remove the blinders from their eyes. I get off the line now.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Yusef.
Yes, Liz. Look at this now. You know, you remember the old Western preacher, you know, Bible-toting preacher. Well, if you check that Bible and open up that Bible and the Revelation, the back of the Bible, what did he have in there? A gun. Old Patty Boy is remind me of one of them Western preachers out there.
He is a Christian terrorist. Bottom line. It is a terrorist act to ask for, to demand, and to be non-repentant of a demand to murder somebody.
Where is Iran on the oil-producing list of nations in the world? I hear, you know, Venezuela is number 5. Where is Iran?
I've got it. I don't have that number in front of me. Thank you. I certainly will, Yusef. Thank you so
much. Okay, thank you so much.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop
this now. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. One of the most famous hospitals in the country probably will close. Walter Reed, Army Medical Center in Washington. The Federal Base Realignment and Closure Commission has approved the Pentagon's plan to shift Walter Reed's functions to newer facilities, mainly at the Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland. Commission Chairman Anthony Principi said,
kids coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, all of them in harm's way, deserve to come back to 21st century medical care.
Final approval will have to come from the President and Congress. It's hurricane time in South Florida. Tropical storm Katrina is centered less than 70 miles east of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and moving west.
As it turns towards the mainland here and is expected to hit sometime around midnight or early in the morning, it could well be a Category 1 hurricane. We know all too well how unpredictable these things are and how difficult it is to say just where they'll hit and just how strong they'll be when they do hit.
ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman in Miami. The latest federal report on home sales shows they're still hot, but not as hot. Sales of new homes rose again in July, but sales of homes overall fell for the third month running. ABC News financial contributor Melody Hobson explains,
the vast majority of homes that are sold in this country are existing homes, and we're definitely starting to see that market soften. It's down about 3% since last month. Supply is definitely up. Houses are staying on the market longer, and the median price in this country is continuing to drop.
World crude oil prices have backed off today, but only after hitting a record $68 a barrel. Hawaii, with some of the nation's highest gasoline prices, is imposing a mandatory cap on wholesale gas prices. It'll be $2.15 for regular unleaded, lower than what's being paid now. That does not include taxes and dealer markup, and retail prices will not be capped. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down a bit, 2 points at this hour. The NASDAQ is up 2. The S&P is up a fraction. This is ABC News.
Stock up at Kohl's 50% off sale and save on the things you need now. Save 50% on the coolest styles for back to school for everyone from tops to teens. Save 50% on Mrs. Sportswear, the hottest looks from Nine & Company, Access, and more. Save 50% on hundreds of most wanted items for yourself, your family, and your home. The things you want, the savings you love. It's all happening at Kohl's 50% off sale. Friday and Saturday only from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. at Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
millions of miles, thousands of TV appearances, hundreds of baseball games, 80 years of history, and a fleet of Goodyear blimps all add up to one big celebration. The Goodyear Blimp Birthday Celebration, with sky-high savings on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, get up to an $80 rebate on a qualifying purchase. Offers end August 27th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Goodyear. For 80 years, it's been the name everyone looks up to. Mailing rebate offer subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
In Los Angeles yesterday, there was another honor for the genius.
The Ray Charles Post Office.
The post office is just down the street from the recording studio where Ray Charles recorded some of his biggest hits.
I remember this corner when it was a bar.
Joe Adams, Ray Charles' longtime manager, joked the blind singer used to work at the post office.
He was hired to sort the mail.
Which explained why some letters never got delivered. Now there's an effort underway to put Ray Charles' face on a commemorative stamp. Dave Alford, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Religious broadcaster Pat Robertson says he was speaking in frustration when he called on television for the assassination of Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, a man who often criticizes the U.S. Yesterday, Robertson first denied he said it, but after hearing recordings of the show, he apologized. The State Department had called the original comment by Robertson inappropriate. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission today will continue making its final recommendations on what military installations should close or be realigned. While Scott Air Force Base is in no danger of closing, they do stand to benefit from some other base closures. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus says the additions to Scott can only help the base in the future.
Anytime you add missions, I think it's very helpful for any military facility, and it's one of the successes of the movement to keep Scott was the ability to add missions.
Realignments and military installations across the country could bring nearly 800 new jobs to the base. Among the facilities that could be realigned to Scott are logistics readiness squadron positions from Little Rock Air Force Base. The largest grant in the history of the University of Missouri-St. Louis will go toward a program to increase high school graduation and college enrollment rates. The Department of Education will provide nearly $30 million over the next 6 years to fund gaining early awareness and readiness for undergraduate programs or Gear Up. The first Gear Up program, launched in 1999, followed students in three area districts from sixth grade through their junior year of high school. This expanded program will follow students in eight districts from seventh grade through graduation. If you suffer from chronic pain, want to quit smoking, or suffer from any number of illnesses, there's a treatment that's been around for 1,000 years that you might not have thought of, hypnosis. A growing number of doctors and therapists are hypnotizing patients. Victor Fitterman, an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, says hypnosis helps patients cut distractions and focus on solving their problem. Fitterman suggests asking your primary physician for a referral to a doctor or therapist who uses hypnosis. Finally this hour, the high cost of gasoline has taken on a whole new form of negative energy for Harvey Kurtzman. The owner of Quincy Gas in Quincy, Massachusetts, has temporarily shut down his gasoline station until the prices fall and the motorists become friendlier.
I don't think it's a dollar level. It's going to have to be a trend. If gas goes down for 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks and there's a trend going down, and customers will come in happy instead, without being grumpy.
Kurtzman says he's sick and tired of people complaining about the cost, so he's not selling any. Kurtzman says he's tired of people blaming him for the high cost of his product. He says he's still selling cigarettes and junk food, and he'll keep his rental truck business going. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Prevention Magazine's Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Prevention, America's most trusted health magazine, is proud to introduce Prevention Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Help achieve optimum health with prevention. Available at GNC and fine independent pharmacies. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 44, Bulls, there's an accident been cleared, but expect delays all the way through Route 141. Westbound 270 from Chain Rocks Bridge to Washington Elizabeth, look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound 255 from Gibson Barracks Bridge to 55, expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Hanley, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB, look for that traffic to start to ease up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, look for no problems to report there in both directions. Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravel, you've got paving operations going on. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer exit, that is closed through August due to construction. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand as an alternate to get around. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look for cloudy skies, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the lower 80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms with a low in the upper 60s. Friday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, a high in the mid 80s. Friday evening, showers will continue with a low around 70. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, there's a 30% chance of showers with a high in the mid 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under overcast conditions with light drizzle, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 and clouds with some rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Most of us are looking for ways to stay healthier, the right diet, the right exercises, the right supplements. But what if we also just slow down and chill out? A new study says meditation is not only good for the soul, it's good for the body too. A new follow-up study of transcendental meditation done in the late 80s and mid-90s shows that people who had normal to high blood pressure who practiced meditation were 23% less likely to die than those who didn't. They were also 30% less likely to die of heart disease and stroke. High blood pressure is a risk factor for both those. WebMD says that today more than 10 million Americans practice some form of meditation on a regular basis. In many cases, the practice has been recommended by a doctor. There are other forms of meditation besides transcendental. Read about them, try them, see which is best for you. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I say? I think it is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that?
I will never say that Martin Luther King knew. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
dignity. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour. We have much to talk about. We've been talking about, in the last hour, we were talking about the Christian terrorist, Pat Robertson. And many of you were making the natural, reflective, or reflexive observation. It is hardly seems to be what many people understand to be Christian values to advocate the murder of a president of another country, particularly a person who is a billionaire like Pat Robertson is. He who is has the ear of the presidency, has run for the presidency. These are not what many people who would define themselves as Christians would call Christian values. It's fascinating for me to look on his website and see humanitarian, a button for humanitarian issues and spiritual journeys. That's not the place of humanitarian or spiritual journeys. A website that advocates the assassination, the murder of another human being because you disagree with their politics. I think that we have a very difficult time in this country, often in this country, to articulate and be aware of the real issues. Most people don't know about the amazing things that Hugo Chavez has done for his country and his people. Most people don't know about the amazing things that happened when CAFTA passed and how horrible that is going to be for this nation. Most people don't know that when the energy bill passed, that there was a little part of it in it called PUCA that will that passed under Theodore or under Teddy under Roosevelt. And PUCA made certain that communities would own their own electricity and water and gas. Now that PUCA has been eliminated in this energy bill, foreign companies, foreign interests, corporate interests, Enron interests can now come into our communities and determine that we have to pay extraordinary prices and have no redress because the companies that own them are now outside of the physical boundaries of our states. Oh, what does this have to do with our next guest? Well, we need to be aware of the reality of the world that we live in. We need to be aware of the reality of the world that others live in. And there is a connection between the suffering that goes on in countries outside of the borders of the United States and the suffering that goes on here in the United States. We are told that cheap food, if we keep our prices of food down, then we're able to meet the needs of hungry nations. Well, not so. And our guest this morning is going to facilitate that conversation to tell us how it is not so. Our guest is Christian Schwind, Program Director of Food First. She is joining us from Oakland, California. Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Cheap food, does it help hungry people?
Well, ironically, Liz, most of the hungry people in the world are farmers.
Mm.
And this is what, you know, this is really the issue. That 50% of the hungry people in the world are actually small-scale farmers. Another 20% work on farms as farm laborers. And so when food is priced at a level where it is so cheap that folks, when they're selling food, can't even cover the cost of their own production, can't cover the cost of farming, that when they have an emergency that comes up, when they have to pay for school supplies, when they have a family member that needs to go to the hospital, and they can't sell food at fair prices that cover their costs, then the farmers go hungry. And that's the irony of the world.
Well, that's a twisted irony.
It is, because, you know, you have folks sitting out in the middle of fields that are productive, and they are growing the world's food, and they often can't even feed themselves.
And they can't find anybody to sell it to.
Well, you know, that's the issue. Because when prices are so low, they may be selling them, but they can't sell them at any cost, at any price that actually covers their cost of production.
So how does this come about? How does this happen?
Well, you know, it's ironic that farmers, when the prices go down for whatever they're selling, they will just farm more of it because there's not much else they can do. Either that or, you know, give up or go to the city, and you see a lot of farms that are breaking up that way, and folks have to leave their family land and go to the city. And quite honestly, that's what drives down wages in the city, and that's what causes sweatshop conditions.
Well, how does what we do here in the United States make a farmer not be able to raise food to feed himself or herself?
Yeah. Oh, well, now that's a really good question. United States, we're home to a lot of the big or corporations. They're selling food overseas in developing countries at below the cost of what it costs even farmers in the United States to grow it. And this is a practice called dumping, basically. It's facilitated by trade agreements, such as CAFTA, which you mentioned, such as NAFTA, such as the World Trade Organization, that allow this to happen. So basically, you have big companies like Cargill, like Archer Daniels Midland, you go to other countries and sell food that farmers there are growing also, but they sell it at below what farmers there can afford to sell their food for and take away their markets.
How do they get access into these countries to sell food? I mean, what country would let somebody come into their country and sell food that their farmers can't compete with?
Well, you know, this happens through a combination of things. When a country is so indebted to the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, they lose some control over their own policies because basically you have governments like the United States coming and saying, well, you know, we basically have a lot of control over your debt, and in order for you to, you know, in order for you to continue to be able to pay off your debt and not have us, you know, basically mess with your interest rates or so on, we want you to sign on to the World Trade Organization. We want you to sign up for CAFTA. We want you to sign up for NAFTA. And what these agreements say, basically, is that countries no longer have the ability to control their own food policies. Now, food is a human right. Actually, so is health care, so is education. These are all human rights. These are things that everybody needs to have. And yet, when you leave food completely up to a free market...
And it's not really a free market.
No, it really
isn't. I think that we need another phrase, because it's not a free market when one big moneyed entity says that only a handful of people are going to be able to sell the food they want to, and you have to capitulate. There's nothing free about that.
No, you know, there really isn't. There really isn't, yeah. And there's nothing free about big countries telling, you know, rich countries telling your poorer countries that you have to do this also. You have to let our companies come in and, you know, take over the markets, and you can't do anything about it. That's not free either. But, you know, what free is when country, you know, people of their own countries can elect their own democratic governments. Like you just mentioned Hugo Chavez. That's a great example,
mm-hmm.
yeah. When folks can elect their own leaders and set their own policies and say, this is how we want to regulate our food policy, this is how we want our prices to be, so that they're fair for farmers and for consumers.
And I think that the thing that is just phenomenal about this, it's not that ADM, Archer Midland Daniels, or Archer Daniel Midland,
mm-hmm.
whichever one it is, it's not that these companies, these corporations out here are not making profit. They're making obscene profits. So it's not as if things could not be done differently to allow other countries to make profit as well.
Right, exactly. Well, Cargill, let's see, in 2003, that's the last year I have data for, they made $1.3 billion worth of profit.
In profit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I think that one of the things we talked about it earlier this week. I had a labor organizer from South Africa coming in to talk about the European debt and the impact of the World Bank. It's very important to underscore how the World Bank plays a role in this, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. And we can see this actually in the case of Niger, which is obviously a country that's been in the news, is facing a lot of hunger. And, you know, what we don't hear about Niger is there's hunger there every year. Even in a typical year, up to one-third of the population of Niger can go hungry, and that's, like, you know, not even a particularly bad year like this year. And that Niger used to have a policy of, basically a grain board in which they would try to stabilize prices a little bit, make sure that in a bad year folks, you know, could try to have a little more access to food. Like, the government was trying to get involved, even though they had very few resources because they have a huge debt. Well, in order to get their debt relieved, basically the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and the World Bank told Niger, you can't be regulating prices anymore. You can't be regulating food prices. And that's really contributed to the current crisis.
How so? How does that work? They can't regulate their price. What does that mean?
Well, it's interesting to see what's going on there. What that means is that, Niger had a pretty bad year for farmers in general. You know, there were locusts that came in and ate a lot of the pasture, and a lot of the poorest folks in Niger are actually cattle herders up in the northern part of the country where it's very dry. It's the Sahara up there. And there wasn't much food for the cattle. And so, you had these farmers who were trying to sell off their cattle at low prices and also trying to buy food with what they were selling their cattle for. And the price of cattle was going down. And you have these grain traders, and it's not really a free market in Niger, because you have grain traders who are basically taking advantage of the situation and driving the prices up. And that's not necessarily benefiting the farmers. It's benefiting the middlemen. It's benefiting the grain traders. And before, when Niger had the ability to regulate their prices a little more, that might not have happened. But now, since they don't anymore, you have folks just taking advantage of the situation and selling food to people, trying to sell food to people who can't afford it at, you know, prices that are just too high. And if folks in Niger can't afford it, well, you know, they can export it to Nigeria. They're exporting it to other countries while folks in their own country are going hungry.
What can people here in the United States do? I mean, what can the average citizen out here do to respond to their disapproval of dumping of food in these countries?
Well, you know, the U.S. Farm Bill is coming up for consideration again. And the Farm Bill is this great big piece of legislation which has really global impacts. It basically sets foreign policy in the United States for, you know, 5 to 7 years. And that will be renegotiated in 2007 and 2008. And there's a question, really, about what is the best way to prevent dumping and to support farmers in the United States. Because currently, well, we know it's a tough thing to be a family farmer in the United States as well. You know, it's a tough thing to be a family farmer anywhere in the world, but also at home. There's lots of farms that are... lots of farm families who are losing their land and not able to make it. And at the same time, the United States is also paying a lot of money in subsidy payments to farmers to try to keep them afloat when they're facing low prices. And there are just better ways to do that. You know, we should, instead of paying farmers subsidies, we should be regulating prices, and we should be managing supply. And that includes things like paying farmers to set aside wetlands and other parts of their farm that might be better, you know, set aside for environmental purposes when you have, you know, basically too much food that's driving prices down.
And what can, I mean, are there purchasing decisions that we can make as citizens out here to contribute to helping the farmers and this issue?
Yeah, you know, building up local markets for food is something that consumers all over the world can do in order to help your local farmers. So basically, family farmers are having a harder and harder time selling to supermarkets because supermarkets like to buy in, you know, they're big companies, they're big chains, they like to buy in bulk from big farmers. And that really shuts out the middle, you know, the small-scale farmers and the family farmers. Who, you know, have a hard time just even selling their food. So when you go to farmers markets, when you go to more local grocery stores that might buy food from the local farmers, when you sign up for community-supported agriculture, you're supporting the family farmers in your area. And now what that does for farmers worldwide is it gets folks thinking about local food systems, which are also good for environmentally in terms of helping prevent even more climate change, because when people are shipping food all around the world, you know, that's giving out emissions, it's giving out carbon dioxide and those sort of gases that are contributing to climate change. And quite honestly, you know, making it harder for folks to be growing food in places like the Sahel and in Africa because they're going to be facing more drought. So when we buy food more locally and also contribute to policies that help people buy food locally. So that basically that means that, you know, we need to be looking at the farm bill and to revisit the policy of subsidies and allow countries to set their own farm policies. We need to be working against trade agreements that tell countries what they should do instead of letting countries decide what their own food policies ought to be. We need to be basically stopping the WTO negotiations. There's a global small-scale farmer organization called Via Campesina. This is a it's pretty amazing that farmers all over the world are organizing together and saying, you know what, the World Trade Organization is not the place to be making our agricultural policy because this is something we need to be doing in our own countries. So we need to be supporting that struggle as well.
Where can people find out more about this issue?
Well, we have a lot of information on our webpage. Again, I'm with Food First, and our webpage is www.foodfirst.org.
And this is something that teachers could be teaching elementary kids. I mean, just the idea of going to local markets, taking elementary children to local markets to get them into the experience of and to advocate with to their parents that this is where we need to be doing our grocery shopping, things like that.
Absolutely. You know what? Food at local farmers markets does taste good.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. And also, I think you end up buying more when you go to the farmer markets, too, because you kind of lose your mind because everything is out there and everything seems like such a great deal that you end up buying more food than you do, and that's a good thing for the farmers.
And a good thing for
and
you.
You're buying healthier food.
There you
also,
go. There
you're
you go.
Buying, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables.
Your kids aren't hollering for the candy bar at the end of the checkout lane. They're hollering for the apple or the peach or whatever.
Right. And
yeah.
It's a great time to be checking out farmers markets because, you know, everything is in season and
the
food just tastes great. And it's a good way to teach your kids that, you know, that fresh fruits and vegetables are yummy because when you buy them from the farmer's market, so the grocery store, they are yummy.
There you go.
They taste good.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Christian Schwinn, Program Director for Food First, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, thank you, Liz.
Take care.
You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Be back to take some of your calls and comments. Stay with us.
When the bankers warn that locusts out there turning away our yield, trains go by our silo, silver in the rain. We leave our pockets full of nothing but our dreams in the golden grain. Have you seen the folks in line downtown at the station? They're all buying their tickets out and they're talking a great depression. Out in these empty fields and dust as deep as snow. And all this trouble in our fields, this rain can fall, these wounds can heal. They'll never take our native soil. What if we sell them down here and then we work these crops with sweat and tears? You'll be the mule.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
Friday morning on the Wake Up Call, reporter Liam Schiff and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you planned, dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you to. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at the speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't.
Don't you look down. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to check me out, get to the website at LizBrown.com. Tomorrow, we're going to have some exciting information up there on the show that we're doing tomorrow about some amazing experimentation that went on orphans. AIDS experiments that went on orphans. We're going to have photographs. We're going to talk to the nurse that administered some of the medication. We're going to talk to writers that have written extensively about this. You're going to be able to go to the website and see the videos and the photographs of the this horrific story. And this is a story that's going to that has been put together by one of the Wake Up Call interns, Emily Skates. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow, as well as Healthy Futures is tomorrow as well. So you have that to look forward to tomorrow. I cannot let go of this, and I will not let go of this outrageous criminal statement made by a Christian terrorist. Christian terrorist Pat Robertson. It is, and I love what President Chavez has said in response to it. President Hugo Chavez has said, you know what? There are two things that are going on that are phenomenal things with regard to the insane prices that we're paying for gasoline. The state of Hawaii has said we're going to put a cap, and Hugo Chavez has said that we want to sell gasoline and heating fuel directly to poor communities in the United States. We want to do that. We want to sell gas and heating fuels to poor communities in the United States. And what do Christian terrorists say in America? Kill them. Hugo Chavez says, we want to offer free health care to poor people in the United States. Universal health care. To anybody that doesn't have health insurance. What does a Christian terrorist, a cleric in the United States say? Kill them. Well, what does he say? Kill them. Now remember, this is a person that, while he is not at the right hand of George Bush, he certainly is in the ear of George W. Bush. What has our good government said that about our airwaves being used to advocate murder and unrepentant advocacy of murder? Hugo Chavez said Venezuela could supply gasoline to Americans at half the price they pay now if intermediaries who speculated and exploited consumers were cut out of it. As a matter of fact, Jamaica is now going to be buying oil from Hugo's President Chavez at $40 a barrel. He says, I ain't selling it to the United States like that. If I could target it, I will. Because understand, the Venezuelan state oil company, PDVSA, owns Citgo, which has 14,000 gas stations in the United States. You know what? I'm going to drive all over the city and look for a Citgo gasoline station. And he says, we could sell it to you cheaper, but we decide who we're going to sell it to cheaper. I think that you'd see a whole lot of folks visiting North St. Louis that didn't visit North St. Louis before. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hey, Liz.
Earlene, good morning.
I had to step away for a minute, so I didn't catch everything you said. I just listened when you first started talking about Pat Robertson's statement.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm repeating something that you said and someone already said, forgive me. But what about all the hoopla of the senator who likened people to Nazis? He simply compared them.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
To Nazis and
Durbin,
those
Dick Durbin, and Dick Durbin. That was Dick Durbin over
okay.
in Illinois.
Was the hoopla about the statement anywhere near that? And this man simply likened or compared people.
I haven't heard the Senate's Senate Majority Leader Dr. Frist making a comment about the advocacy of assassination. And here's one reason why they should be making a comment like this. Because these are the types of things that make their jobs difficult. As a United States senator, it is problematic when a billionaire uses the United States airwaves to advocate assassination. That makes a United States senator's job difficult in dealing with other countries.
Well, but the reason that they're not saying anything is because what he's advocated is what this country has done.
And what this country wants to do with
and
Hugo Chavez.
And we've had assassination squads from God knows how far back.
Well, you know, talk to Patrice Lumumba's family about assassination squads, CIA-sponsored assassination squads. And they've already admitted that they were part of that, that they had a role in that. So, I mean, the silence is deafening, and the silence is really the silence from this government to take issue with terrorist statements is the reason why there are so many thousands of people protesting out there in Crawford. The reason why there are so many thousands of people protesting all across this country, because it's hypocrisy. This country is not against terrorists. They're only against the terrorists that they don't like.
Well, if they were against terrorists, they'd be against George Bush. And your commentator earlier was very interesting about the media and how they have basically just shut down. And it started with Reagan. When the media started giving Reagan a pass, they've done it with every Republican president since that time.
Thanks for your call.
Take care.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call, 454-0400, 1-877-920, LizBrown.com, revolution at LizBrown.com, and you need to get to me at 454-0400. We're going to take a quick break, quick break. Stay with us. We will be back.
In every soul, there is a memory, a standing tall, the proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall, we were born in majesty. And when the long night has been...
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Senator John Warner of Virginia is charging Defense Secretary Rumsfeld with manipulating the National Base Realignment Plan in an effort to move 20,000 defense jobs away from the Washington, D.C. area. Warner said last year a Rumsfeld aide had indicated that moving activities beyond a 100-mile radius of the Pentagon is what needed to be done. He says Rumsfeld used the realignment process to achieve other goals instead of the one issue it was designed for, and that is strictly efficiency. Warner said the planners used criteria that had already had all leased facilities as less desirable than owned buildings. The proposed realignment and closures would shut down over 800 bases and are supposed to save nearly $50 billion over the next 20 years. The senator says he hopes Virginia Governor Mark Warner will join in a legal challenge if the commission goes ahead with closures for Northern Virginia. One of the standards Rumsfeld had come up with requires leased defense buildings be 82 feet or more back from surrounding roadways to prevent death or injury from truck bombs. That rule is scheduled to take effect this fall, and practically no facilities in Washington satisfy that measure. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Chef and former researcher Dr. Jonathan Fishbein investigate the AIDS drug experiments done on orphans in New York and Africa. Was it right to use these children as guinea pigs just because their parent, the state, said it was okay? Tune in to find out what's really behind these impenetrable doors of politically guided research. Friday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told, hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
Do you want to be loved? This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Yeah, Reuters.com, they have...
Okay, can you turn down whatever that is in your background?
Huh?
You can turn down the music in your background.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, can you turn down the TV?
Yeah, Dan, turn down the TV. Yeah, Dan, turn down the television.
Yes.
Okay. What's up?
Yeah. Reuters.com, they got excerpts of the Iraqi draft constitution.
How nice that somebody's actually had a chance to read some of it. What did
it
say?
Yeah, and it says in there that Islam will be a main source of legislation and no law will contradict Islam. And... There might be some other stuff in there, you know, designed to please, you know, us, I guess. But I think the Shiite judges are going to interpret that as, hey, it's okay to oppress women, and especially when we leave, when the soldiers leave, you know. So
Well, I don't think that our soldiers are doing much of stopping anything. As what one Republican senator said on a Sunday morning talk show just this last Sunday, I think it was Senator Warner, who he said that we cannot drive from Baghdad to the airport without bombs taking. We can't even clear a path to the airport. So I know that our troops aren't doing anything to protect the interest of women in Iraq.
Yeah, also some different Shiite factions are killing each other over there. Well, you got Sadr, who is kind of against us, and then you got the...
Who's the us? You mean the...
Well, us, the United States,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the other Shiites who are kind of our puppets, and they're kind of like fighting each other in Baghdad right now, so...
There is no constitution. There is no constitution. If people haven't read it, if it hasn't been written down, if people this is not a finalized document. It's another bait and switch effort that has been engaged or employed in this publicity campaign to distract people from the reality that there is no constitution. There is no agreed upon constitution in Iraq to vote upon. There's nothing been agreed upon.
So we got like 2,067 body bags for Sharia.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Scott.
Talk to you later.
454-0400. Lois.
Yes. Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Long time no talk.
Yes.
Listen, I just want to give you the answer to the question that you asked the gentleman in the last hour about why are we over there in Iraq, and what are we trying to stop that wasn't going on before we got there?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we're there is one simple word: oil.
Yeah, but the question was what are we going to win? So you're saying the prize is oil.
Exactly.
There you go.
Okay.
I mean, but the problem with that is that. That's not what that's not what the statements are. That's not what the defense of this occupation is.
Of course, they're not
saying any of that.
Do you think they're going to admit that?
Thieves usually don't. They don't confess for real.
As far as this Pat Robertson, I think the man is an idiot.
I resist the urge to talk about the intellect of this individual because let me explain why. Because whether or not he's a genius or whether or not he has an IQ of 34, the fact of the matter is that he is a billionaire who sits on the airwaves, who has the ear to George W. Bush, has the mouth and the phone to Donald Rumsfeld, has run for the presidency himself, and has articulated on the airwaves, regardless of his intellectual capabilities.
I'm going to change that. I'm not going to attack his intellect. Obviously, he's very smart, but I think he's evil.
I ain't saying he's smart. I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is that it matters not whether his IQ is 34 or 2004. It matters not. He advocated murder on our airwaves. We own those airwaves, and he should be taken off as quickly or condemned as quickly as Janet Jackson's breasts.
Exactly. And the first thing I thought about when I heard him say that, this man must have a brain tumor. Maybe he might have a brain tumor.
And I think that there's a danger in reducing him down into a nut job, because the fact of the matter is that he has a lot of power in this country
does.
And a lot of influence in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start saying, well, he's just being crazy, that boy crazy, so that doesn't allow you to continue the conversation about the weight and the impact. If you say that somebody's crazy, and the punishment that should ensue.
Exactly.
If you say that he's just crazy or silly or playing, you're not going to punish a child the same way that's crazy, silly, or playing as you would as a child that did this with full intent. He intended to say this.
Uh-huh.
He has not retracted it. He has not stepped away for it. He has not said that he is sorry. He has not said that he won't say it again.
Right.
He has said none of these things. He's a grown billionaire that advocates murder on his airwaves. He is a Christian terrorist.
That's
Tell me the difference.
And he needs to be accountable for it. He needs to be taken to the woodshed.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call.
Okay, take care.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. There are going to be efforts on the other side of this issue that want to minimize Pat Robertson into a caricature, into a joke, into this is the same guy that prayed for the deaths of Supreme Court justices so that he could have the justices on the court that he wants. There is a mistake in that. There is a mistake in suggesting, articulating, or defending Pat Robertson as a nut job. Whether he's a nut job or a genius, these statements are indefensible, criminal, and should be punished. They should be punished mightily. The only thing that Rumsfeld has said is, you know, the CIA doesn't do that. And his statements are inappropriate. Inappropriate. It's inappropriate to leave the, inappropriate is such a minimal type of a thing. It's inappropriate to wear white shoes in December. That's inappropriate. What we're talking about is criminal. What is it? You're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day. That's inappropriate. To advocate for the president, the democratically elected president of a country to be assassinated, that's criminal. And it should be responded to by this government as criminal. And it hasn't. The silence is deafening. You know, and you know, maybe George is on the floor choking on a pretzel or riding his bike someplace, and maybe that's why people, he's not saying anything. But they sure came out quick to make a comment about Janet Jackson's breasts. One more call here. Cell phone.
Yes, Liz, I guess in 1940 you would not have advocated for the overthrow or getting rid of Hitler either, would have you?
What had Hitler killed people? Who has Hugo Chavez killed?
Is this not a communist man down there?
So we should advocate for the killing of the president of China as well. We're supposed to kill people because of their political party affiliations? Is that right?
I didn't say that. I was asking.
Well, you asked me if he was a communist. What difference does it make whether he's a communist or not?
You always side with the communists.
Okay, and my question to you is
a
question
that
the question that I'm asking you is, are you saying that we should advocate the killing of people because of their political affiliation? Are you a Christian? Is what Pat Robertson said right? Are you supposed to advocate for the killing of people?
If he was advocating that, no.
Okay,
hey,
very good. Then you agree with the communists too. Then you're a communist too. You're on the wake-up call quickly.
Yeah, cutting somebody's head off on television is not appropriate either.
It is absolutely not, and there was a lot of condemnation of that. To advocate
that
somebody
cut off anybody's heads on television.
Beg your pardon?
There's not any Christians that cut off anybody's heads on television.
And that's not the standard. The standard isn't simply the standard isn't just whether or not you cut somebody's head off. The standard is also is whether you advocate for somebody to have their head cut off. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Approved a Pentagon plan to close an historic and old hospital.
With several members saying Iraq and Afghanistan war wounded deserve first-class medical care, the commission voted to close the aging Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C. and build